Anyway, welcome to Dark Guidance, I suppose. I'm Chris.
I'm Brian.
And Tom.
And I'm Pete.
All right. And we're back after a couple of weeks. We recently had ourselves our Australian Super Series, which is effectively our equivalent of War Machine Weekend. It's our nationals, so to speak. And with me here, I have two of the finalists.
God, just the way you said that makes me feel so good.
Yes. I have one finalist who got there legitimately, and one finalist who got there with some janky shit. So, we'll talk about the janky shit first. Batesy, explain your lists.
So, Grimkin has a janky shit? Really?
Yeah.
What, so, is Legion the legitimate list?
Well, mine's more proven, because I won more games in a row to get to the finals.
Okay.
Yeah, before we fully get in this, I want to say that I've put up this thing where it's actually subtitling everything we say, and it's really entertaining because I don't think it understands the Australian accent very well and any of the terms we're using.
Oh, yes.
So it's like we're listening to Dark Garden because apparently guidance is too hard to understand, and Green King is the faction that Peter's playing.
Beautiful.
I'm fine with Green King. Green King's cool.
All right. For what it's worth, I was there. I went 2-2. Probably should have went 3-1, except that I fucked up on scenario. So there was that. Also lost to Jack after like getting timed out. That kind of sucked. And Brian couldn't make it. But you did go to Warfare Weekend, so there's that, I suppose.
Yep.
Played you went to Warfare Weekend and played TI, didn't you, Brian?
I did both. I played some War Machine.
He played some Zal 2, and then because Zal 2 is too easy mode, he stopped playing Zal 2 and played Twilight Imperium for a challenge instead. Is that more or less right?
I think I played the same amount of Twilight Imperium as I played as much War Machine over the weekend.
So much respect. Yeah. I loved it. Went to a TI tournament in America.
It was fun. I'd do it again.
Yeah, no, for real. I love TI. It's an awesome game.
I also went to Warfare Weekend and played I didn't play much of anything, actually.
Well, you played Trolls, which isn't really playing so much as suffering, so...
Didn't you
drop?
Well, no, I won two rounds, and then I lost on, like, a scenario where there's two zones touching the board edge, and I look at both my lists, it's like, these are all speed 5. I was never going to make it to the zone in time, and I did not make it to the zone on time.
Why do you not take this?
It was not... This was a retro list made from 2015 where bears were not legal yet, so.
Not that it stopped you from taking Boomhowler.
I read up, there's like no more free card options, but I could have just submitted no requisitions. Have you looked at the Creole company's like requisitions? It's like all the shitty UAs from all the shitty units. So
like
my
Braylon as well, I think.
My hand was forced, but to be fair, that model didn't do much besides, like, it just stood on a flag.
That's
these are cool. Boomhauer 2 is fantastic, I think.
And Repo on Calandra's nice. Gets her in there with Befuddle, then walk away.
Listen, when you're playing 11 Lytros, you're not befuddling and walking away. You're just, like, casting Starcross and healing aspects, Brian.
Fair enough.
All right.
Did you lose a bet? Ever?
No, well, this is Tom's new thing. This is just what Tom does. He plays Mark 2 lists and Mark 3 and wins games.
Yeah, well, so... he didn't really at Warfare Weekend, but you then swapped to a better faction in Mark 2, which was Legion.
Oh my god. The Legion Dojo, it was hilarious. Yeah. So I got snowed in at the at War Machine Weekend, so I couldn't leave until like I think Tuesday. So like Omnis was there on like Monday for a little bit, so we went to like eat at the restaurant in the convention in the hotel. I was like well, most of these models are pretty terrible, and they're like, they don't really stand in front of your army and not die if you're trying to play anything besides Primal Terrors. And then first of all, I was trying to play like a Primal Archon. And then it's like, this thing looks almost okay, because it goes to like armor 21 with Dax 1. But 21's not really cutting it. So I was like, looking for other 8-point models. I was like, you know, I have a bunch of Hex Hunters and Black Frost Shard. We can just throw in Bloodseers. And then they're, so they go to like armor 24 because of Unyielding from Children's, Spiny Girls from Primal Magic, and Dagger Rush's Aura. Like, this, you know, and then I thought to myself, like, this might be just dumb enough that it could be good. So that, and then that was that.
And what do you know? It was dumb enough, and in a lot of games, it was actually good, which is hilarious.
Oh my god, it was so good. It was so good until the finals.
Yeah, boy. Grimkin and Will Smash Snifflin. Heard it here first. Blessed is pretty good into that list.
Yeah,
so that was sacrifice.
Yeah,
sacrifice,
I think the problem in that, yeah.
Into Spiny Growth at least.
Yeah, the problem in that list was like a Carnivian's Match 6, and it doesn't really kill anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how?
So yeah, and then we went to Super Series. We stay at one house with like 12 nerds. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, Bro House was awesome.
Yeah.
If you come to camp on next year, yeah, we'll do it again, yeah.
Yeah.
God, why is all the Australian conventions so hot? Do you guys need like in some like autumn or something?
Go to WinterCon, I mean, Tom.
Tom, yeah. Tom, come to OTC. That's in autumn.
Well, the TL is plotting against me and put it on a very bad day, so I can't come to the OTC.
Incorrect. You can come to the OTC. It just requires a bit of sacrifice.
We'll talk about sacrifice in the finals game, because it was a really funny story.
Yep. Anyhow, basically, we all, like, effectively had the Super Series was, like, 2 weeks ago, and so we all made it up there, and we all had our fair share of just travel drama. In fact, if anything, Tom, who literally flew in from another country, had by far the smoothest run getting to the Super Series. Batesy's car nearly got blocked off by bushfires, and you guys had to take, like, a six-hour detour. I, for the first time in my life, missed a flight, because basically that weekend is, like, the Australian, like, spring break is probably the best way I'd think. It's schoolies week, and all the airports were chock-a-block, especially because, like, as soon as it starts fogging up in Sydney, they just immediately just shut down all the flights. So, that sucked. And
yeah,
it's Brian...
The weather was torrential, right, as well.
Oh, yeah, it was fucked.
Huge storm. And, like, how the fuck do we have a country, like, one single state where you've got torrential weather that shuts down a major international airport, and then, like, half the state is on fire?
Well,
like, it just,
you know,
it was so bizarre.
Yeah. That's climate for you, really? Oh, yeah. Shit, man. Yeah, I mean, currently Sydney is basically smelling like an oven, so, like, actually like a barbecue, so that's about as apt as it gets.
The one benefit of a 13-hour drive and with an associated 6-hour detour is that if you've got the lists that you know you're going to have to play into, you really study the hell out of them, and you learn how to, well, you mentally beat them. Then you go.
Well, you could not have studied my list. That was not impossible.
Actually, you're one of the few lists that I sort of just have, like, what cast do I drop? Question mark, question mark, question mark. What Arcana do I use for Dreamer? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Yeah, it was fucking so weird, that list. Both of them.
All right, so get into the list. Actually, we can all start with what list we played. I mean, you guys are the finalists, so go into it first, I suppose.
Start with the winner, I guess.
Okay. So I played the totally not Padford Dunford list, which I remember he won something basically the weekend after I invented this list. And I've got three guys in Newcastle that can attest the fact I made this list myself.
All right. So not Padford. This list you copied from Dunford, what is it?
So it is Dreamer plus 1 Cage Rager, 2 Skin and Moans, 2 Clocks, 2 Gorehounds, 1 Juicy Rattler, 2 Free Kravitz, 4 Free Swarms, and the Death Knell. Yeah, I like it quite a lot. I've played by far and away my most amount of Grimkin with Dreamer. I mean, most Grimkin players probably can attest to that. But she was the caster that I was super interested in playing initially. And then I went through many different variations of the list But this is kind of the one I like. It's the most balanced one, and it particularly gets a Rattler in the list. And I know at least for some of the Sydney guys, and Tom mocked me for all my lights, but and to be fair, they did actually bugger all over the course of the weekend, but I like them being there just in case.
So just so we're clear, we were right, and then, yeah.
Hey,
can you be my fault that you all
lost in a row with Hexer? Sorry, Brian.
I said, can you really claim you're right if you all lost to him, though? Sounds like Pete's list was the best list.
Well, genius. I think the only did you play any Sydney guys besides Colin?
Like Cole, yeah.
So, I guess he's more from Perth now, I guess. So.
I think he I played Tom Oliver as well.
Okay. Enough.
Come on, that's two.
Well, two Sydney guys. That's fair. Yeah, well, that's true. Solid enough. Like, you'll never catch me hating on a Rattler because that thing's dope and also
it's so
really
good.
Annoying to deal with. It's when it gets going, it just like it sometimes just like goes on huge adventures into Killtown. It's disgusting.
It does, and then sometimes it loses you the game on clock.
Yeah.
Because you just have way too much fun killing stuff.
It's pretty
yes.
cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Rattlers, my other list was Old Witch, and she has the best Rattlers in my opinion.
Yes, 100%.
So this list, I had two Rattlers in that list. Three Clocks, one Lonesome Gorehound, two units of Naysayers with UAs, two Malady Mans, Baron Tunglet, because he's a boss, two Trapper King, because they're also awesome. I think that's probably... Oh, and the Hermit.
Yep, so, you had a Hermit.
So Chris, Before people murder you from the internet, why is there no grave goal?
So this list, ironically, is made almost entirely for Chris.
I knew it.
Yeah, 100%. And you picked it in our chat almost immediately as well, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, of course.
The list that I ran... Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like, oh, this is not one, but two Rattlers. I'm like, what kind of person would you take two Rattlers against with your Old Witch list? I wonder. Also, just in case you duck me and you play, like, Dreamer into me, there's a Rattler there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
We had Moab, the tournament, I don't know, was that like a month ago, Chris?
Yeah, something like that. It was like... Close it off, right?
Yeah. So we played that Old Witch. Oh, I suppose I played the Bump in the Night versus Wolves. Yeah, or Doom Reaver list for the second time with Vlad 2. And I just thought to myself, I can answer everything else. Ironically, I wasn't certain about Jack, but I don't know how well Grimkin list I can make to be good into Jack. But I could answer everything else in the meta, I thought, except Chris. So I think the big money call in that list is not actually the Rattlers. The Rattlers are kind of dead weight. They're just kind of they're filler. But it's specifically to get the Gorehound in the list because getting Sprint on Old Witch 3, Old Witch is quite clutch in that game. And also having, if anyone else has listened to your cast recently about Grimkin and about Wolves of Winter, you would regale them and say that I don't know what the spell is called, but the RFP thing that creates a Doom Reaver.
Bonds of War. Yes.
Yes. That is pretty bloody amazing against Karskimps. I love Karskimps. They're one of my favorite things in the entire faction, and you made me not take them. You're a deplorable thing.
Mission accomplished. We did it, Reddit.
Yeah, man.
Stop the casket menace. There was like still a bunch of naysayers to do it, but yeah, I looked at that like, all right, well, maybe I could kill a monkey. No, I won't be able to kill the monkey. The monkey's probably dying through natural causes.
Yeah. I'll kill that monkey. You're not overfeeding that damn monkey.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Amusingly enough, when lists came out and I saw your list and I looked at your list and I thought, Oh my god, why did I bother meddling for you? Because you actively made your list way worse into mine. I'm like, why the fuck did I bother?
I disagree, right? But I had to, like, it's not, I didn't just have time to hate on you, I also had to hate on Jack as well, so I
put Archon
there. And also, Eliminators are pretty good into, like, Naysayers, I found.
For sure, for sure. But they're killable, though. It's the ponies, man. The ponies are such a...
Yeah, you don't have to regale me on that. It's like, I had to basically make the decision of, do we take the hard counter to Grimkin? But, like, ponies don't do anything in a lot of matchups, including Menoth, so that's why we did it. Probably I could have put in two, like, Void Archons.
You can...
It's kind of like having two pony. It's kind of like having a unit of ponies, because Void Archons, like, never die, and are always killing all the time.
I kill three of them.
You can... What can you kill in Jack's army with ponies? Like the Adrians and the choir, huh?
Yes. So nothing, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
I can miss some allegiance. I can fail to bring a battle wizard. There's so many uses for them, as you can tell. Yeah.
You can. You can better. Yeah. So those are pretty good lists. Actually,
I haven't got a good answer. No Great Ghoul, mate. I just ran out of points. I needed to fit all the other sweet stuff in there. The sweet, sweet Eddie Chris tech in there.
I mean, realistically, you can cut the Rattler for a Grave Ghoul and then 4 points of whatever shit you want, but...
A Mad Cat.
I kind of just struggled to spend the last 4 points, and I didn't want to get one Mad Cat.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, you could have one Mad Cat. It's probably acceptable, but... Oh, well. Anyway, Tom, how about yourself?
Man, so I originally had like two lists for Mark II that I was gonna play, and then at some point, Jake was like, "You should try out these like, try some new stuff that's not people haven't played recently." So I was like, "Ah, sure, I'll do that." So I lost a bet because I had to change my list. So I owe Jack KFC still, but the list we made was the primary list was Dagrosh 1. With a battle group of two Bloodseers, Zeriel, Azrael, Carnivian, which most of those are support pieces for the lights, but we'll get to that. And then it was a full unit of Hex Hunters with a Bale attachment, Black Frost Shard, and there was Kralix, the Moneymaker. And I believe that model was so good. And then there was.
Quick detour. What a fucking guy, Kralix.
Dude, that model might just be straight broken if it was in any better of a faction.
I mean, it was in such a garbage theme list, like, most people forgot about it because of that reason. Anyway, continue, please.
There was two Forsaken, two Spellmores. So the list actually is so much shit that, like, just not good, and then you put it all together and it functions actually pretty okay. So normally you have the Hex Hunter to Shadowbind Stain, so you can actually hit models with the Carnivians. And then you have the Strength buff, obviously, for Azure's Spear. You have the Bloodseers to cast all the Animuses. Well, just it's only actually only Spiny Growth, but to stand in front of you so like your heavy can like go up as a second wave to like trade. And then if they don't have RP, you have bring back one of your Nephilims, and then it was straight. So that list was so it's actually a lot of fun to play that list also. You have like you can do a bit of everything. Like I casted like every spell on my list, like it was like aggressively obliterating people. So it was fun.
Did you mutagenesis? That is the essential question.
I did not mutagenesis because I didn't feel like it was a good opportunity to mutagenesis and B like no offense, but most of the other games I play, I didn't feel like I need to, like, do any, like, aggressive plays to get back into the game, because I was just, like, crushing every game before the finals, so.
Sure, but then there's a question. Did you truly live with Thagrosh if you didn't actually cast Mutagenesis? I think not, Tom. I think not.
Fair enough. I'll fix that some other time. So, the other list, which I... Now, after the weekend, I thought it was actually a lot better. It was like Veil 2 in Ravens of War. I played, it was Veil 2 with Archangel, two Harriers, a gold, wait, there's no gold lab, two Carnivians, there's two Deathstalkers, Kralix, two Hellmouth, and then a Bogtrog Mistspeaker. And I believe there's one Forsaken.
Yep.
That list was actually a lot of fun to play. Because you're the Bloodseer goes up, cast the Archangel's Animus, and then you hopefully roll more than two shots, which I never did. But hopefully you roll more than two shots with the Archangel, so you can shoot the target with like Rat Effective A with the marked target from the Harrier, and then power PS-16 and 2-4 PS, basically fully boost the power 16. And then you get the repel away. And then it has like a really, really, really legit assassination by Legion standard, which is like a 50-50 against most things. So.
I mean, it's Vale 2. Vale 2's assassination is technically better than it used to be back in the day, so there's suppose.
It is better than it used to be, I get fair enough.
Yeah.
The list is actually really good. And if I thought about it more, I probably should have dropped it this list into the Dreamer in the finals. But I didn't want to deal with like Naysayers, basically. So
yeah, I think the Old Witch smashes that list.
I agree.
I've thought about dropping Old Witch, but then I'm like, how the fuck do I kill these Bloodseers? Like, Naysayers can't kill Bloodseers. Clocks can't kill Bloodseers.
I mean, if a whole unit charges, I think it lives. Because I think each Naysayers is like dice off age.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. It's dice off eight, yeah. I mean, I might get cursed on one of them. Maybe.
It still seems like a negative play experience right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no great answer here. Let me just read Kralix's rules again, because I remember seeing this guy back when it was like, because he's like a, what you call it, release. He was not Riot Quest. What was the other one they did?
Company of Iron.
Yeah, it's just like, here's just some random fuckwit with four arms and has a triple shot longbow with poison, some RFP thing, and weaken. Oh no, he's like, yeah, he makes your guys explode and then like hits other people, so you can kill like six models.
Oh no, that model won me the game against Potsy because it one turn it killed like six pain givers.
Ooh,
yeah, body. Holy fuck. And he's got Swift Hunter, he's got Steady, he has Sack Pawn to some unit that doesn't exist in the game. But, you know, when that unit does exist, Blightedness Archers, I think they are called, you know, like, he'll be good there as well. And he has just poison on, like, a whole bunch of things. It's just, like, you know, whole great things.
Dude, that is, like, the reason to play Legion, because you can, like, you can make it really well, good. Because you can, like, you put the Harrier out, so it's, like, shooting Rat 9s on all the sweets. It just prints money at killing solos, which I really love doing.
Well, I mean, Kralix is basically a character Deathstalker. Like, he does different things to Deathstalkers, but, I mean, still same old murder, same old things. It's good times. Yeah.
Does he still do damage when he does the weaken shot?
Yeah, yeah, he's still...
Yes.
I mean, it's a power 10. Poison, obviously, it's a power 10. But it's just... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, still...
I would ask, Tom, what would you, if you cut any one of these lists, would you be tempted to put a Primal Terrors list in your pairing?
I would not, because I think that list is pretty mediocre.
And how so? Because remember when Primal Terrors first came out and everyone was, well, terrified of it. What do you reckon's actually changed with that? Because we might as well use this cast to talk about Legion and how playable they are.
Think they're decently playable, but I just think you don't... So, rephrase. Kalos 1 is still pretty good. That's like the penultimate Legion list. It's like pretty good in most scenarios, and then you can like grind out the scenario win against a lot of things. But besides that, most of the things are pretty mediocre, I find. Like, does any of you have issues killing ogres? Let me just ask.
No.
Not anymore.
Not since Tharn, because you got to tech for Tharn.
Yeah.
The meta's just changed around them, and it's just manipulated a really, really bad meta state, in my opinion. When last year, well, 2018, they were a menace. Like when we went, Chris, like that mattered. Our planning for PT mattered quite a bit in my mind. But
definitely.
It's just not a thing I care about. One of my primary opponents, like Shane Patmore, love him to bits, plays a fair bit of PT, and it just went from something that I used to worry about to, you know, getting 50-odd reps into and just saying, wow, this is just not good whatsoever anymore. And everyone's now played against it. Everyone's got reps into it. It's got such a static threat range.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't have, like, cool defensive tech, like tough no knockdown.
Yeah.
Defensive tech, you mean? Yes, I tend to agree.
So,
Also, they're to me, ogres occupy a rather unhappy spot because they're basically between Tharn and Manowar, and you've got the two extremes there. Tharn have, like, effectively a whole bunch of shenanigans and good defense stats, but they've got no real armor. So if you hit them, they tend to die, but a lot of the times, right, you know, you're realistically, the defense is like their rapid healing, the fact they've got vengeance and all those other things. Whereas you've got Manowar, they've just got huge numbers, right? Like, they've got huge numbers of wounds and armor, and they probably have tough, and they're probably with a caster that makes them harder to kill, okay? And Ogre are right in the middle there. Their armor is decent, but not fantastic enough. They have to take a Blightbringer as well, which I think might be the other thing. Because
I think that's like one of the best beasts in Legion, but that's like another topic.
Problem is, like, one of the problems now with the scenario pack is, like, taking a single Colossal is just, like, suicide, almost. And then even, like, what are you pairing with the Blightbringer? Because the Blightbringer is so many points of your army. Like...
Golab. Like, the one saving grace in my PT is Golab. That is a ridiculously good beast, in my opinion.
Triggerbird. I would agree. Triggerbird is one of the best. But what other lists is Triggerbird working? Ravens of War. He works in Ravens of War. And Ravens of War also get Hellmouths, which were, for the longest time, another reason you wanted this fucking list.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I would quite like
so realistically, you're playing Primal Terrors because of Dragon Ogre Calf, which I think, what are they called normally?
Chosen.
So, like, Chosen's are pretty good. You can play the Omnus list with Saren and 10 Cap and try to beat Gunlines with it. I think that's fine. And then you can play Kalos 1 and then V to try to jam people out. But it's like, it's not really something I want to do. So I didn't feel like Primal Terrors. You could, but I don't personally like playing lists like that, so.
It certainly doesn't feel as necessary with new Ravens of War. A lot of the things that I kind of liked about that list have transferred over, and you get more access to it to just random cool things. Again, you got Golab in, like, Ravens of War, and that has to count for something. And you also have this Kralix guy, who's just a freaking baller. Like, he's just going around murdering everyone. Yeah, it's gotta be fine.
Yeah. I think it's also more versatile. It gives you, like, more options in the game, which I enjoy, so.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can beat Grimkin with your Harrier spam. Ooh, and your Shredder spam to go with it.
I'm happy
too. It's probably still pretty good.
Yeah. That the list that the dude from Norway was playing, yeah. I would like to see on the table, because in my mind, it actually seems pretty cool. Like, they threat so far, and they just like little missiles, those lessers. And it's got Triggerbird. And, you know, that makes any list better.
Theoretically, Jack might play Legion because he was like semi-impressed, I think, at the weekend.
Steep praise, semi-impressed from Jack Ding.
He was making a bunch of Legion lists after we got back to the house on Sunday. Yeah, so it's like,
didn't that last for like an hour and then not scoop him out?
It lasted basically the car trip back home because. Effectively, like, oh, wow, shit model, compromise, shit model. What am I doing here? Why am I doing any of this?
Jack was looking for Menoth Archons in the faction.
Exactly. Why take a Bloodseed when you can take a Menoth Archon?
Yeah. They're the same. Yeah, there isn't, like, I don't think you could, like, reliably try to beat his Kraos 3 list with Legion either, but I was like, you're playing Legion, you better be lucky and dodge some bad matches, so.
Seems about right.
Yeah, but the lists are good, so. And then we can talk about the Mighty 2-2 Kalor list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, when you're playing, like, I played Kharkiv and Vlad 2. I know that there's, like, all the rage is basically to go and make a Kalor list with zero models, but I didn't really have time for that. Sorry, zero, two Kalor models, and that's your casters. I actually think that, so I played Kharkiv with Vlad 2. Kharkiv were 7 heavies. Alexia 2 and some stuff to fuel Alexia 2. Worked pretty good. The game I dropped that I was kind of annoyed about, I forgot to contest the scenario zone on Spread the Net, which was annoying because I was tabling Weaponmaster spam with Kharkiv, which felt good. Struck at 3, but oh, things happen. And I was kind of in the drinking bracket there already. Wolves of Winter was with Vlad 2, as is usually the standard. That one had the Void Archon, and I mean, Batesy could say that I made the list worse into Grimkin, but I'm not 100% sure I agree. Admittedly, it's like, it's not like that much worse to have a singular Void Archon compared to the ponies. I've found that it's like the Vlad 2 is just like a very good shell for that list regardless, because all the models threat really far. I threw in a Clamjack there. I think my battle group was Destroyer Devastator specifically for a couple of matchups where you kind of just want something to just feed to people that will be hopefully annoying to kill, because a lot of the models in that list otherwise just immediately evaporate from, say, Harby's feet and other such nonsense. Personally speaking, if I could do it again, I suspect I'd cut Kharkiv for one of the Menoth, one of the Warriors of the Old Fate lists, because you can get a similar level of just annoying to kill, except you also have Menoth Archons, so can it really be that bad? It means that both your lists now have
Kryas 3.
I made a fucking sweet Kryas 3 list with 6 of the best Cav solos. Sorry. 4 of the best Cav solos and 2 Menoth Archons. And
you've
like 3
that
heavies.
Just for the better Resnik list.
Yeah, all the Resnik list. I tried the Resnik list as well. That list is fucking dumb. Do you know what Menoth Archons really need? Boundless Charge. So and also
but then Chris, you'd be like weak to Leviathan, so I would not recommend that.
I mean, I've got 7 shield guards on that list. Am I really that weak to Leviathans? Oh, and if
it's not the guns you have to worry about, mate. It's the charging Leviathan.
Yep. All
those
right.
Clutch
good
charging
thing
Leviathans.
The clutch
that see through
Leviathan.
All forest.
Yep, they see your battle engine caster through a forest. Yep, Leviathan's got you there.
That's definitely how those rules work. That's correct.
Well, it's a good thing you're no longer playing Menoth Batesy, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, this event was good. It's all yours, dude. You can borrow the model too. This event was good because I haven't won a large single man tournament in a while, but I'd come second at so many big Australian cons in the last 18 months. So it was finally good to actually not lose in the final. But one of those losses was obviously basically one Leviathan versus an entire Resnik army. And the Leviathan won, unfortunately, against Wyatt. Fucking Leviathan. Oh my Rex. God. Threat a million. PNS a million.
Which you just walked into, of course. But yeah, enough correct. Needling. as I said, like, I think the pairing still works regardless. Basically, you want Wolves of Winter in your pairing in Kador because it's Wolves of Winter. It's got a lot of natural answers and to just a bunch of shit. Two slots in nicely. I played a fair bit of Butcher 4 as well. He, honestly, it took me a while to figure out what he actually is, and he's basically just a 3 Doom Reavers glued together and functions like a great. He'll never be your front line, but he'll definitely be the guy who follows up. You can pair him with Hermit for some shenanigans, and Hermit plus 2 Void Archons is a credible alternative to playing Alexia 2, but it's fine. I changed some other things, but realistically, I don't hate, I think, the Resnik 2 Vlad 2 pairing. Maybe the one for the future. Not 100% sure.
So, 2 questions.
Nothing else. Yes.
Is Butcher 4 like actually like a good choice in the list? In that list, I guess.
In that list? He's free. And yeah, it really, he's really just competing with three Turnian. And the thing is, you already have two units of Turnian. So I found that, like, there are some matchups where you want nine Turnian, but, like, I mean, one of them would be, like, Batesy's old list, you know, the one which had mad caps everywhere, because you want more access to, like, Bonds of Woe. When your opponent strips all that shit out, then, you know, it's pretty clear cut. The other thing, too, is with a Vlad, too, while you can't fit it on Butcher, you can boost his attacks and stuff, and it sometimes is very important to land your Mat 9 Rulola swing to dispel whatever bullshit they've got on them, so there's that as well.
Fair. Okay.
And it also means that you can very reliably keep the Berserk. You can re-trigger Berserk by boosting the punch he does and do other kind of stuff. I found him just fine, but he's like, you don't really have to put a lot of thought into Butcher 4, which is probably for the best.
Nice.
Yep.
Alright, now we enter the section people are waiting for. Very quick battle reports.
Sure.
So it was a two-day tournament, and day one, people that qualified couldn't play. So what did you guys do?
I was stuck in Sydney Airport trying to get into Brisbane. I nearly got charged four times recommended retail price for a ticket, and they conveniently made... if you ever go and try and book tickets on the thing, and they go like, oh yeah, sorry, the price has increased right before you're about to purchase them. There's a photo on my Facebook page which encapsulates it, but I got managed to get there. But yeah, that was a challenge, and then I got fucking Jack round one, which I'll talk about probably never. No, it was a good game. It was a good game, but it was not the game I wanted round one after having to deal with all that bullshit. Batesy?
So I talked a lot of shit, obviously. Yeah, watched a few games, but I also got a practice game in with Ben Swallow. And his janky as all hell Secret Masters Kruger 2 list. And I proceeded to lose within about 20 minutes, continuing the grand tradition of me losing against Ben Swallow right before I win a major con. I'm pretty sure I'm going to just buy him tickets to every event I go to from now on.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. He's my little luck charm somehow. He's good fun to play as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, so... I got the... among other things, to watch your final game, Tom, in Topotsi, which was really glorious. They were just the most swingy dice on both regards.
Yeah. So I played three rounds that day. So round one, I played against Converge. Is he local to Sydney, Chris?
Knackers. Who's this? Oh, yeah, Knackers is local. Yep.
Peter Bates' favorite human.
Look, all right. The Spraygate thing frustrated me just a little bit. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
It was...
That first night was great, yeah. So I played him. He dropped... It was Axes Orion. I was like, if I drop Dag Rush 1, I don't think I can lose. So I dropped Dag Rush 1. So I forgot. We played a pretty okay game. I run up. I put up all my defensive things. And then he feasts with Axes with... He comes in, I think, with three inverters, and then there might be a cipher in there. Comes in, he charges my Bloodseer in a way so he can get the reach attack onto my heavies behind it. And so he got way too greedy, so he didn't actually kill anything. But with Axe's feet, and normally you can't really kill things under his feet with Legion things. But I have Black for a shard, and then Daggerish 1 has a strength buff. So even when I can't charge, I can still, like, walk into it. Like, Zerio, being a boss, still chop arms off, and then, like, I harm something else, and then swap Draconic Blessing around. Kill both. Hex Thunders is great this game. They shadow bind one tap for the whole game, so that one tap can never do anything relevant. And then...
Wait, the tap doesn't have gun platform or whatever, does it? It can't shoot if it's engaged, right?
I think it it can, but the point is I don't want it to like get to like kill Dax, try to get in like kill Dax or something.
Kill relevant models, radio.
Yeah, and then we attrition for a bit, and then eventually I just killed Axes because he got shadow barred by Hex Hunters. Yeah, and then the round two was great because this is where I dropped Potsy, and then he has a Zol 2 and Bakeda 3, and I was like, I can't really kill either of these with Veils. I guess we're playing Dags again. And then I'm pretty sure he was going to play Bakeda. So I was like, ooh, this is going to be rough. And then it was pretty rough. So a clutch turn in this game. So he bricks up. He has like two bruises in the front, base to base, with the bulwark up, with the animus up. Like, then, but there's, yeah, and then there was like his Rhinodon, his two Archidons, and then like turtles on the flank. Fun thing, so I was able to shadow bind one turtle, so it's going to be able to get some scenario pressure, but a Blessier couldn't kill the objective. So a Blessier plus a Cardi spray couldn't kill the objective, so I had to pause for a bit. Zerial went in to, I have to eventually do something. So Zerial had to try to roll some eights to kill a Bulwark Archidon, which I did, so that was great. And then...
What a lockbox.
It was pretty good. But I was still playing against Makeda 3, right? So he comes in, feats, and then like kills all three of the heavies. I think at that point, most people watching thought I lost, which I thought was going to be rough. I think I still had a way to climb out, because what I did next turn was Dagrosh kills a turtle with harm. The Blessier finished the objective, so I can not lose that scenario immediately. I feed back the Carnivian, and then I put and then my second Blessier just goes in front of his army and be armor 24. And then that was very important, because the next turn, he claims his zone on the left with a second turtle, but it was still going to be in range with the Carnivian to get to it. So that was like, all right, cool. Next turn, I'll kill it so he can't score anymore. He spends his turn trying to kill the Blessier, which did not happen, which he was not pleased by the armor 24 thing, so I thought it was really funny. And then eventually he clocked out, because the next turn I switched to Arcane Suppression, because he was really low on clock. I thought he was going to go for some repulsion play with his, was that thing? The tiny frog thing. I thought... I was going to go for some repulsion play with the Agonizer and Makeda. So I put up Arcane Suppression. And then, so he couldn't get rid of Arcane Suppression, so it didn't work. And then he clocked. But that was a really swingy game.
He definitely thought about going for the assassination like he was talking about at the end.
Yeah.
I just don't... I think you switch clock with maybe like 3 minutes on your clock to his 2 minutes... And I think he could get in a position to go on your left flank and start stacking up. And he could just, like, throw one Pain Giver into your right flank, like, once a turn. And I think if you just, like bang back and forth on the clock, he's going to win eventually on scenario down onto turn 7.
Yeah, it was going to be pretty close if he start, like, stacking on the left zone, because I only had, like, a half dead Bloods here on the other side. So it was gonna be tough, but then I think he just got really. I think he thought he was gonna kill the Blessier the last turn. So he went, and then when it didn't die, he just stood there. It kind of got him like stuck in his mind that he has to kill it. So.
Yeah.
I find it entirely appropriate to beat Potsy by outbreaking Potsy. I mean, that guy.
That was hilarious. Just, yeah.
He does. That's it. That's his wheelhouse right there. So no wonder.
Yeah, the Blessier was very important, because I don't think there was going to be any single model that was just going to be stood there and then, like, actually be semi-relevant and then, like, hold me. But, like, basically what it did just, like, it doesn't do anything, like, offensive-wise, right? But it just kind of stands there, be annoying. Like, if he doesn't get rid of it, he doesn't score it. And then the other side, there's another Blessier. So, it was pretty clutch. So, that was, like, the game was like, oh, shit, this list actually works. Because I think
how unlikely is he to actually kill that Bloodseer?
It was actually pretty unlikely, because it was like, so Makeda's coming in at like dice of 7, and then like the Rhinodon's also like a dice of 6, so it was gonna be pretty tough, I think, for him. Because I didn't trigger battle driven, and then
didn't trigger battle, and this is Makeda having to do it. I don't know.
I think she's power 15, is that right, Chris?
Maybe? Yeah, she's 15.
Yeah, that's
so, 17 with insight, but you stopped that as well with Arcane Suppression. Yeah, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, so I didn't know he was going to do it. Like, he could obviously do it, right? He just rolls a little bit better than he did. But it didn't happen, so it was helpful.
Yeah, fair, fair.
And then the last round I played against Ben Middleton with Infernals. And then looking at his two lists, it was like, ooh. Agathon who tried to kill my caster, or Zadaroth who tried to kill my army. It's like, here's Dagmar Schlein, and then here's two Bloodseers. And then it's like, he spent a long time figuring out, it's like, if I send two heavies in, I think I don't kill that Bloodseer. It's like, that's probably right. So he tries to go for some scenario play, but then even under Zadaroth's feet, I think I still got a lot of things done just by being Zerio, being like mad A base, and then going flying behind him, and then just like chopping up like crabs. Crabs are actually pretty easy to hit. And then I was able to telemetry one, the other crab, and then just ice cage it a couple times. So the feed was not really relevant. And then he tried to kill Dagrosh, which was, he was like 10 points off. So it's probably more better odds than I should have given him, but it was still pretty poor. And that was the LCQ, pretty much.
I just think Zadaroth's long-term game plan, you don't want to go for an assassination. Like, I know that he was pretty clock pressured, but she's just so good at attrition.
Yeah, I agree with you normally, but I think this my Dagrosh list is actually pretty bad for him to try to attrition it. So. I think it was actually just slightly too tanky for him to try to go for it, because like. But I think if a play against is probably gonna be different. Like, but I felt pretty comfortable into playing that Darius into that Zalaroth. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, how did you find Infernals, actually? Obviously, it was just the one game you had to play, but you probably had other games against them. I don't know. And yeah, I know you've been
playing them. I played Trolls into them that War Machine weekend.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I was speed 5 and couldn't make it in the zone, so yeah.
Okay, so that went about as well as planned. Fair enough. How about yourself, Batesy?
I've not played into them, but I've played with them a bit now. I'm probably... After this, I'm dropping Grimkin for Infernals, at least for a while, until I get my mercs back. I think they're very strong. Like, we were doing that top 10 caster in the game chat after the last day in the bro house, and I only really was thinking about it then, but I said Agathon, I think, is probably top 10. I do believe Agathon's the best caster in the faction. I think he's an amazingly good caster.
You know what? Actually tend to agree, because I'll be blunt, I've been unimpressed by Zadaroth, and it's mostly because if Zadaroth doesn't actually have any souls, then she's kind of just like a focus 4 caster just walking around with a passive ability, whereas like Agathon has that Veil aspect going on, like Veil 2, where they will go in and do all of the attrition work and do pretty good things, but also threaten to murder you at, like, the drop of a hat. It's like, oh boy, here I go killing again.
Absolutely. Like, I haven't played very many games, granted, but I have been able to get him on the board. I just have focused on Grimkin up till now. But even on the... He doesn't need his feet to kill very relevant things. And he will kill very relevant things every single turn of the game. And he'll just keep that feet in the bag, so your caster's got to be... play no part in the game, you know. Removing the caster from the game entirely almost is a huge boon with a caster that can very easily just sit on the kill box quite happily. Of course, it probably changes once people get used to playing against him, like just getting used to just how important it is to kill the four boaters. But I guess the same thing can be said on the inverse, like getting very good at Agathon. I think his skill ceiling is just like through the roof, right? If, like, knowing exactly to where to put his three or four boaters every single turn to make the most out of the revelations of Outer Darkness ability, that's a huge part of his game plan.
Yeah, if you randomly kill something, he's like called Hellmouth time. You're not in a great exactly loving life. And the other thing too is that unlike especially Omo, right, compared to Omo. Agathon doesn't really take that much of an essence hit to summon stuff, and given that summoning is still going to be one of the core components of Infernals, right? Him not actually having to, like, him still being able to cast one to two spells, camp some focus, and do things. I mean, like, he also gives you a reason to take more cultists, because Revelations only works when cultists die. Or, well, not just
or cultists, crows.
But they're one of the...
Yeah.
Crows are good ways to do crows. It too. Yeah.
So, like, the crows are just... They're not an amazing unit. I mean, they're so much better with prey. But she's got ways, or it has got ways, to turn them on. Like, curse when being able to walk through stuff and then shoot them in the back. And I've not done it, but in my mind, like, his 10-inch charge range, stab a guy, turn him around, crows kill that thing, and then you teleport back out of dodge. That seems really fucking good.
living the dream.
That sounds like something Chris will actually do once.
I know, that
sounds like something Chris will die to.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about, yeah.
More like it.
I'm pretty sure, Karchev's going to get charged by Agathon, stabbed, needled a couple of times, literally needled a couple of times, and then duck banished into charge range of, like, a unit of crows after being Curse of Shadows and everything. All of this makes sense to me.
I think it's more on than people give it credit for, though, because obviously you've got Valen Hawk, so you can charge through all your stuff. And you've got aggressive use of teleport from an Out of Darkness play the term earlier. Like, if you are in a position whereby you can't die, they give you a Out of Darkness trigger, and then you teleport 6 inches forward to a position you still can't die, suddenly now it's a 16-inch threat on the stab step.
It's actually 18 as well, because you've got the gate, and the gate frequently can be used to shove him forward a bit as well.
Sure. I don't know if he wants the gate. The other two 100% want the gate. But I think he can... Like, he needs one soul, right, to be able to Hellmouth twice and summon a heavy. Assuming you take Roger and Hermit.
Yes.
Or, like, he needs one soul to be able to, you know, machine gun off four dark fires and still be able to summon a heavy. Like, that's still lots and lots of work. I just think... A Tormentor in that 12-point slot matters quite a lot to his beginning early game attrition value.
That's a Crab Crusher? This all makes sense to me. Like, again, putting in perspective, the fact that his feat is just literally used to kill casters is incredibly, like, it's going to be tilting. I also don't think, I don't hate a Soul Snake with him as well. That's what we used to test. We found, double Soul Snake, double Torment, and double Foreboder. Admittedly, this was back when you could Arc Node, turn people into Foreboders, and they'd be able to Arc through them that turn. So you didn't need that many on board. But, like, four Foreboders now to start the game, and then use, like, Hermit to keep them fueled, so to speak, that also appeals to me as well.
Yeah. I think he wants minimum three. I think the sweet spot's probably four, to be honest.
Four plus a Tormentor fills out his jack points, and then you could take any of the other heavies for one or two more if you need to fill it in.
Yeah, that's right.
Seems good to me.
Very interesting cast.
Yep, indeed. All right. I suppose we should get into the actual Super Series final now, though.
Oops. I accidentally pressed the wrong button.
You are now showing your face to us, so I'm not sure what's happening. All right. There we go. All right. No longer are we seeing Tom's beautiful face. Okay, so Super Series final.
Well, back on that point, I think you're probably right about Agathon, but nobody's played him well enough. It's like, oh, this is probably going to be really good. So we'll see. I think it's there, but it just needs to be played better.
I think it needs someone to get him 50 or 100 games, and then just say, this is what this caster can do.
I'm not that necessarily worried about Infernals in general until, like, some idiot like Dunford gets his hands on them and is like, oh, okay, this is gross.
I think the hilarious carousel people play is pretty... it makes people in America really annoyed, so there's that.
I think it's so binary.
It is, but now you have more focus and reroll, so it's better than before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You just hinge so much on the feet. Like, your whole game plan is so inherently dice vulnerable. If your dice just shit on you, then you're never going to win any game.
But that's what happens when you take any list that relies that much on, like, small model count.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, so you can't... The Karo Sloan list isn't that small a model count, though. I mean, admittedly, it's like, you know, 10 lights, right? But that's still a lot of, like, moving parts. Like, it's not just a few models you're relying on. You've got a lot of gunshots going out there. Admittedly, like, they'll faff around. Like, some of them will run 9, but they'll run more hunters. And though the hunters are much more feet-dependent. That's definitely true. There's a couple I've seen with Hurricanes as well.
Additional focus... I watched a couple games of it over the weekend when I was in the US, and the extra focus really helps that list.
Oh, yeah, it's insane. Like, I mean, Kara Sloan selling her soul to, you know, get extra focus on her charges seems legit.
Yeah, I think you eventually just end up being like a face faction playing Agathon and Kara Sloan, which I find hilarious.
Yeah, why not?
It's basically like Mark II Legion playing Veil 2 and Lilith 2 together. It's like, die to spells or guns? Your pick.
Yes. I actually think you're right on the money there. Look, I think regardless of whatever Infernal Master you play in Hearts of Dark... In Dank Legacy, I don't see anything wrong with pairing it with Kara Sloan. Because, like, you could play, like, Zadaroth, you can play, like, some attrition grindy thing... And whatever your opponent drops has to also respect the fact that you've got Kara Sloan, you know, just in case, right?
It is really annoying to play, to not die to Kara Sloan.
Yeah. Especially it's like super Kara Sloan. It's like Kara Sloan living her best life that she could possibly live outside of the, you know, outside of being oppressed by Signar. Now here she is.
Yeah, you have, like, rerolls, extra focus, and shadow fires. It's like... It's basically as good as Kara Sloan is going to get.
More or less, yes. You also just get... There's a lot of things you just get access to with Kara Sloan thing. Even just having, like, Hermit randomly, as you can take as a free card, isn't the worst.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, round one. What did you play, Pete?
What did I play? I played against Tom Oliver. Tom Oliver's... one of the guys from Sydney, I think he's been on the cast a couple of times. He usually plays Rhett, but he had a circle today. He had just been finished. He qualified, obviously, from the last chance qualifier, and his last game was against Moops, which he seemingly did not enjoy. Like, Moops was taking Grimkin as well, so I got into that game, and Tom and I played many times, and I kind of felt bad for him because it's like, I'm sorry, dude, like, back-to-back Grimkin. But he ended up playing a different list to what he played against Moot. So he took he had Wormwood and Kruger 2. I had played the Dreamer versus Kruger 2 game a fair number of times against Rosie, and it's a great game. Like, it is just a 50-50 game, in my opinion. It's very difficult for both players to win if both players are cognizant with, like, the moving parts of how the game works. So whereas Tom didn't do too well into Moops the game before with Wormwood, he dropped Kruger into me. And I think we were just in for a real long, grindy, technical type game, which is a game that I really do love. I think I got first turn, which obviously matters quite a lot in that game. I took second turn, which I also feel matters quite a lot in that game because it means that I can control the scoring somewhat. I can slow down the scenario a little bit. Turn one, I kind of run up and I brick, but I brick in such a way that my relevant things are all within Artificer Deviation. I think the scenario on this one is the two circular zones on the outside and the square zone in the middle. I don't remember what that's called.
No, it was I remember this because it was pretty dead scenario. It was titty fuck.
It is that, but I just did want to say it on the cast. I don't know.
It's my cast. So I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want.
Oh, that's 100%. So what was quite relevant in this game was there was a decently sized obstruction that was pretty well in the middle, like between my left circular zone and the middle zone. I find Dreamer loves a middle of the table obstruction, something you can kind of abuse in terms of positioning. So my brick was kind of offset in behind, partially behind this obstruction, with all my relevant high-def models were in Artifice. Arcana for the game where I obviously sacrifice and ruin. Ruin is more so, it's obviously important when it comes up, but it's more of a deterrent, I find, against Kruger. I think it makes them have to think about their turn quite a bit longer than if you don't take Ruin. This is actually the game that I really, really would have loved two Cage Rages in. And the list, my list leading up until this event was two Cage Rages specifically just for this game. But then had some last-minute changes to include the Sweet Sweet Rattler. Sweet Sweet Rattler actually got to live the dream this game, so it was awesome. He moved up on his second turn, didn't do too much. There's a bit of posturing, but left one of his wardens in charge range of two clocks. He was playing it the right way, in which he was using the warden animus, because the warden animus is actually super clutch in this game. It means that you can't abyssal gate the wardens forward. The first time this happened to me against Rosie, you put up a cloud war or a forest war, and I'm like, what the hell do I give a damn about this forest war you're putting in front of me, man? And it's just like, oh, no, they can't be placed. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's super clutch. That matters quite a lot. So I guess, took the bait in a way, and I went in and I charged two clocks into the warden that was on my right. He had Megalith, another warden, on my left, and the guardian was more centrally orientated. The clocks killed the warden, as they probably should, under a Manifest Destiny. The juicy stuff resumed the new position in the Artifice Deviation. However, to get the clocks into position to kill the warden, it's way out of dodge. So there's no way I'm going to be able to get the death knell to cover the two clocks. In response, on Tom's turn, he proceeds to, I don't know if he teleported his ram hands or he just recharged in, but he was able to get knocked down both clocks, basically resume the spot that the warden was in, and some pretty friggin' hot dice, like absolutely insane dice, from his little wild shrimp, then proceeded to kill both of those clocks. I think I, between the two clocks, I stuttered once, which was pretty frustrating, I'm not going to lie. and knocked down... knocked down non-stuttering Clockatrix is a not very happy clocks. On this turn... one of his mannequin unit is, with only two focus on it, proceeds to leave a Gorehound on two boxes on my far left flank, who was basically, they were lining up against each other most of the game, and it was the opposite manner on the other flank. So he tramples his Megalith in behind the building, I guess, to get a line on... onto that Gorehound, and he then proceeds to kill the Gorehound with a, what is that? Gallows. So a boosted Gallows. So on that turn, he then TKs with the Warden, I think, Megalith back a bit behind the building again. So I can't see him from my leftmost skinny boy. I don't have a charge line, essentially. And I believe he feats on this turn as well. So he passes his turn having killed two clocks and a Gorehound and under Kruger's feet, and I'm like, yeah, shit, this is not going well at all. And I've basically killed one warden. But he put his... Where he landed with Megalith was such a way that my speed 4 running Cage Rager could get in a position where he had just a clipped line on Megalith in and around the building, that I'm able to arc a Abyssal Gate onto, and then my speed 3 walk, like threat 5 skin and moans on the left-hand side gets loaded up with corpses, and then he proceeds to pretty well just about kill Megalith to the box after the Abyssal Gate gets him in threat range in behind the building. So that was pretty damn huge. I then run up my other skin and moans in behind the ram hands in an attempt to keep him alive, obviously. And the little old sweet rattlers in there doing just staying alive. I think I'm probably still in the artifice potentially at this stage. His following turn, he kills my Cage Rager with a fair... No. I think this turn he kills my Skin and Moans in behind the Cage Rager with a teleported warden and some shenanigans from the ram hands and associated guns. Does a bit of work to the Cage Rager and the Rattler, but largely ineffectual. And I'm in a not great position with my leftmost Skin and Moans that had killed Megalith, but I mean, he'd already done the God's work and killed Megalith, so I'm not too unhappy about that. My following turn, I do as much work as possible with the Cage Rager and the Manifest Destiny with the Warden and into the Guardian. And then the Rattler then walks up and then kills the remaining, I don't know, 5 boxes on the Guardian with a couple of boosted, by boosted attacks, kills the 3 remaining boxes on the water, then berserks then into killing the little Night Witch that he brought into play with the well, kills the Stone Guardian dude, and then still kills two stones that have been crowded in the zone. So that swung attrition back in my favor in a huge way. Like, if I hadn't had this turn, I think I was 100% going to lose the game. I was winning on clock, so I had that condition in my bag. But I was probably getting in a position where I was going to start actively losing on scenario quite quick.
Which is so definitely what you want to be against Kruger.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But killing all those models that basically could eventually contest my left-hand zone, because the Skin and Moans on that turn, he killed the Mannequin Stone guy. To eventually claim that zone. I've got no model to take it, but it means that my Skin and Moans can eventually get back into the fight, which was pretty big, obviously. I can't really. There was a position where.
Just like, how did this game like wind down and end then? Is it
so? This game is like. Yeah, like it was a super good game. I'm because of that clutch Rattler turn, I'm starting to win on attrition. And at one point Kruger has to come in and do a bit of work for himself, and he ends up killing a model. I think he finishes off the Cage Rager, and I trigger all 4 down. So Kruger is knocked over on that turn, and he passes the turn to me, and he's got a transfer target, but he's on 4 boxes and he's in charge range of a Skin and Moans. So I then proceed to take a very, very long term turn, just making sure that if my assassination fails, I am still going to win the game on CPs. And at one point, like I'm halfway through, like what turned out to be like an 8 or 9 minute turn. And Tom's like, dude, like how the fuck does the Skin and Moans not kill Kruger when he's knocked down? And I'm like, oh yeah, Kruger's knocked down. I totally fucking forgot about that. I'm like, why bother playing this assassination game?
Australia's best player in War Machine, Peter Bates, at your service.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Australia's best attrition War Machine player, probably. I can't assassinate people worth a damn. Anyway, Kruger obviously went down to like maybe the initials of the Skin and Moans, so
that was that definitely game. The initials.
Yeah, pretty well.
Yep, seems about right. All right, Tom, you go. I need to get a beer, so you go talk through your game, I suppose.
Well, this game was very uneventful. I played Veil 2 against Robin, from Queensland, who's also he's playing Dreamer Wonder. I was looking at it, I was like, I bet I can kill both of them with Veil, which I think is pretty true, because like I play a lot of the Wonder, so I can just put an arc node where that can get to every location of his trunk. Yeah, and I also have Harriers that can run to like just bump the marker, so I felt pretty good even if he drops Wonder. He drops Dreamer, so. On the same scenario, he plays this game really like. He does not break up. He didn't break up at all. He kind of just like. He throws like Gremlin Swarms to contest the Circle Zones, and then me playing Veil, I can kill a lot of Gremlin Swarms. So on my second turn, I give guidance to Kralis, who shoots every Gremlin Swarm on the right zone, and then now he has like put heavies in, and then I can like. Veil can obviously just shoot a tentacle and then make an Arcanine and then do the same thing to the Gremlin Soul on the other side. So he just like sporadically contests and just like puts like a clock in threat range and then puts like the rest of his brick in like this place behind the wall that doesn't really threaten anything. So I was like, cool. I do the Bloodseer thing and then I shoot the clock off the table with the the Archangel, Carnivia, and then like some chases, which I felt pretty good about. He comes up, and then he was not careful about the Hell Nosses, like threat range. So one of his Skinnamones got pulled in by a
Oops.
That is bad.
But no, you say that, right? And I was like thinking, yeah, now it's dead. And then I look at it, I have a Carnivian. I was like, ooh, might be bad, because if I don't kill it, I just give that skin of like an 11-inch range of threat extender. I was like, this better work. And then after some a lot of boosted hits, I barely managed to kill skin of outside the car with one corpses. I felt really happy about that. I was like, oh, thank God, this happened. And then he's like running out of contesting pieces real fast, because like, well, his version of the list doesn't have, like, the lights. So just, like, heavies and Gremlin Swarms. And Veil was really good at scalping out both. Like, even if he had lights, I could probably, like, just chase. I could probably just feed to kill a Gore Hound if I really need to. But I just, like, clears three zones in one turn. Like, I had the Carny Balance Shards to go kill the objective. And then, like, a clock on, like six boxes or something. I kill a clock, and then I redirect, and then bite, and then start punching the objective. I kill the objective, I clear both zones, so, and then I clear the center also. So I go to 4. I go to 4-0, and it's like, I don't think there's anything to do to win this. And then I was right. I did like a really sweet play at the last turn, where it's like, he has a clock on the right circle. I was like, ooh, I could go for this 50-50. If I fail, I don't have to wake up early tomorrow, and if it succeeds, I get to play more. So obviously, since I'm playing Legion, obviously it succeeded. I roll like bananas on the clock, and then I was really worried for a second. I was like, wait, what if he stutters outside the zone, then out of range? And then I thought for like 5 minutes, and I was like, wait a minute, if he stutters outside the zone, I win the game. So I was like, oh, cool. So it involved like the Archangel walk flying over, puts up the Anvis, rolls up the gun, shoots it a couple times, and then Carney just walks over and sprays it to death, which was pretty cool. Carneys are slightly better when they're Rat 7 PS 16. So
yeah.
And then I just want a scenario, because like he didn't like break up correctly, and then just like pick him apart piecemeal. Which you should not do against Veil. You should not just like piecemeal your army to me, which that's not great.
It's a tough thing. Like the one saving grace that Legion I think has in the Grinkin right now is actually the Hellmouths. It's yes. Hard to play Hellmouths with Grinkin, I find. So, but spreading out in the way he did it is not the way to play into them, for what it's worth. Like they need two little.
Yeah, normally I think it's okay, but I have ways to get rid of Gremlin Swarms, like trivially. So that didn't work out great. Yeah. Because normally a clock just buys you like infinite time in some scenario, because it flaps all over the place, and it's really hard to catch it.
Yep.
It flaps all over the place, and that's really hard to catch it. Fucking love it. Love your work, Tom.
Yeah, so that was a relatively fast run, because I think I finished, everyone else is still playing, and I just went home when it moves. So what happened in your game, Chris?
So I played Jack, which is obviously the round one I definitely wanted after my fucking, like, getting there. That was a
That's what everyone else wanted, so you did everyone else a solid.
I sure did. So I knew the matchup was going to be Krios 3 versus Vlad. He could have dropped Harvey, but, I mean, if he does that, he's dropping Harvey into the list that... He basically is, like, making my life easier. For people outside of Australia who've never really seen Krios 3 in action, so to speak, basically...
That list is stupid. It's like a bunch of Mat 10, so Pound 25 models.
Yeah, it's just like everything will kill everything you love forever. Effectively, imagine a hobby list that instead has... it loses the Marta and all of the mechanics that your opponent can counter by having Grievous Wounds, which, as we've discovered recently, is such a common rule now. It's just like most of the best armies in the meta just have it by accident. And most factions have a way of getting Grievous Wounds in a not-trivial form. Like, even Signar gets Express Teams, right? Menoth have it on their Archons, which they're going to have in the Mirror match. Krios 3, what he does instead is he basically brings you a caster that doesn't die and can run small heavies better. And his, like, little shitty Crusaders getting, like, Hand of Vengeance and all that shit and getting a sail and getting up there and stuck in is just... It's gross. Like, but it is telling that I would be thinking of playing Krios 3 as one of my casters, and I wouldn't even have access to Hand of Vengeance in that case. I'll go into Synoptis mode real brief, because this was a long game with a lot of decision points. Like, effectively, I'm playing a game of, like, for reference, right, the game, I ended my game, my turn, with 2 seconds on my clock, and Jack ended with 15 seconds. And he ended that in an effort to basically win on turn 7, 3 control points to 2. So we were just grinding for a long time. But basically, Wolves of Winter, for anyone who hasn't played into it, is excellent at abusing terrain. So I had a Void Archon. Like, I was throwing out individual Doom Reavers to go scalpel his pieces that weren't in the Righteous Vengeance bubbles of his Archons. And then making sure that said Doom Reaver, when he unfortunately died, could get his soul hoovered up by Elixir or the Void Archon. And the Void Archon spent 10 turns kicking ass. So the only turn he died was the final turn, where I didn't have enough time to make attacks with him, so I just put him in the zone and hoped for the best, and he got charged by Krios and died. Speaking of which, that's actually one thing Krios does. Krios's job in that list is basically to, after your 4 heavies are done killing, kill a heavy himself. And he'll pretty comfortably do that as well, because he's like power 18.
Easy.
On a good day with good dice, he can bloody kill like a Signar, a Colossal.
Yes, like, actually, not even that difficulty either, because he's just got blessed on his weapon just to showing up, right? As I said, this one was a scenario grind. My main problem was I had a list that was very good for beating his, but two problems. One, Idrians in that matchup gain access to Arcane Ward, which is problematic, because that means they can't turn into Doom Reavers, because you can't hit them with spells. So that was kind of annoying. It was funny, because the one turn he dropped Arcane Ward to put on Krios, the remaining Idrians immediately became a full unit of Doom Reavers, which may have cost me the game, because that was extra activations I had to do. Yeah. So, like, oh man, yes. But it was like killing it was just a lot of back and forth, because, like, I'd break up initiate blocks, get 2 of them down, and the last guy would just get hit by a unit of Turnian and just die and turn into a Doom Reaver, which was good fun. Always was. Game came down to basically me making a play to try and go 4 points up on scenario when he was only up 1 point, and then just ship the clock back 2 turns in a row and just cram as much shit into the zone as I could. And unfortunately what happens is I sent 3 Doom Reavers into a Champion of the Order of the Wall, and despite Vlad boosts being involved, could not kill that fucker. The first guy missed, despite needing a boosted 7. The second guy failed to dehorse him. The third guy dehorsed him, and there was no follow-up to actually kill him, which was kind of sad. But it was interesting, the game. Void Archon in the Menoth matchup, even in a game like this where you don't necessarily need the Grievous Wounds and Entropic Aura, is still incredibly dangerous. And I nearly lost him, but because I basically went up and sprayed, like, I think it was his Menoth Archon and some other shit, and the model I was intending to kill in order to trigger his teleport, because it needs to be a living model, was an arcane warded, what was it, Idrian. But I used the reroll early to try and guarantee the kill on the Void Archon, which was stupid because I had, like, two melee attacks left to go. But I did it, and then, oh, predictably, I failed to hit the fucking Idrian, and that was that. Except that it wasn't that, because while he had one of his, like, champions walk through a forest using, like, the Pathfinder objective and punch him in the face, Void Archon survived, so I just, you know, killed the champion and then teleported after that. But yeah, big grinder game, definitely what you want. I mean, I'll complain about it through thick and thin, but it was actually one of the most fun games I've played of War Machine in a long time, and it was just really, really technical challenge. But I wish I'd done that game on, like, round 3 or 4 of the next day, as opposed to round 1 of the first day. But there you go, that's how it is.
Seeing you two lined up against each other in round 1, I'm like, yes, they don't have to play one of you, that's amazing. And it was the same with Colin versus Josh. Like, those guys hit up round 1. It's just like, oh, all of this has got so much easier.
Everything's coming up, Batesy. All right, round 2. Actually, I'll just get into my, like, next 3 games briefly. Because, you know,
we'll just get actually, out. Quick question. Do you have a problem deciding where the soul goes in your list?
No. Not at all. I mean, priority is generally Alexia, but depends, and usually the Void Archon's usually capable of being more forward, but I briefly tried it with 3 of the Soul Collectors. That is a problem, but 2 is fine because you just cover 1 of each side.
All and right, usually, so yeah,
it's good fun. I would recommend people try it, especially if they have Kador. Anyway, yeah, the second round I got matched up into Ian from South Australia, and he had Durgan with a list that technically capped out at power 17, which was actually 19 because he had Hermit in there, but I just played Karchiv into him. One thing for, like, I did semi-rubbish on Karchiv earlier, which is definitely not true. One huge advantage of Karchiv in the modern day that he never had access to is this, like, 4-inch forest. That 4-inch fucking forest, man, that was the MVP of that tournament, right? Like, that thing did so much work for just being a static terrain feature. Every game I played, that forest saved Karchiv from dying randomly, and just meant that Karchiv spent the entire game, he could just go down to zero cam. The only game that I may have lost was the round 3 game against, like, Rosie, where I decided, after going, like, 4 points off, to have Karchiv leave Safety Forest, because I was out of threat range of a World Warden, which I wasn't out of threat range of, because Hunter's Mark's a spell. And then, the final round, I actually played Karchiv into Matt from Victoria. Can't remember his last name. Anyway, Matt, I played into a Striker 3. Sorry?
Matt Edwards, I think.
Yeah, Edwards, that's it.
Yeah.
I played Karchiv, honestly, because he had a really annoying-looking Brisbane list that I just couldn't be bothered, like, thinking of Vlad into. But he wasn't going to drop that, so that's fine. I probably should have just dropped Vlad, and I would have laughed all the way to the bank. Still, despite dropping my armor brick into Weapon Master spam, because Karchiv's just got so many shit tricks going on, and that list has so many Warpath triggers handed out just all over the shop, I did just, like, I got myself a pretty fucking good time. Like, the previous 2 matches, if anyone hasn't played into Durgan, Durgan has primed, and primed does not means that you don't actually kill anything. They RFP themselves, which means no Warpath triggers. And if you're playing to Kruger, Kruger has Windstorm. Guess what that generally means? No Warpath triggers. And this one, there's, like, 20 Precursor Knights and other garbage. I'm like, all the Warpath triggers. But I spent too much time. I was in the drinking bracket, so I was kind of like, yeah. And I kind of just decided. I didn't contest properly one turn deliberately because I didn't really feel like sacrificing a heavy for a scenario point. And then the second time, that was just a fuck up. And unfortunately, that fuck up meant he had just enough to, instead of having to get 4 points, which would have involved clearing a zone with 2 clamjacks and, like, 4 heavies, he just had to clear his own zone, which was already clear, and 2 flags. which were contested by Risen and I think a Widowmaker. So, whoops. So, yeah.
Well done. The mighty 2-2.
2-2.
Bring it all back.
It actually made me like go like, fuck it, I'm going to do better at CanCon. Fuck this shit. But it's also like, that is one native weakness of the list. Like, I mean, it's a Kator armor brick. Armor bricks do have that tendency of, like, even when I was, I said, like, I against Rosie, it is like Kruger 2, I managed to get, you know, 4 up on scenario, but I had like half of my Warjacks out of contest, like, out of my control range. There was no way they were getting in as well. Like, one of the reasons Alexia was good in that list was that she just gave me something that could be in other zones that could still be operational and fuel itself. That's actually something to look into when playing these kind of things. It's just like how to get around that particular problem with a jack brick. High focus casters help, but not all factions have access to them. Anyway, how about you guys round twos?
Alright, Pete, what happened round two?
I played Colin Hill, and it was the day after I sleep, so I got lots of time to mentally prepare for the game. I've had a few games against Colin, and we're like super close in terms of record. I think I've got a couple up on him now. But you play against Colin, and like it's a finals atmosphere. He's super clean. He's incredibly good. And no one digs like Colin digs. This is like a super long technical game that I'll just basically give you the cliff notes for. It's Rask with 4 heavies, which are 2 super important heavies, which one of which is Rorsch and a Swamp Horror. And then you've got a Rasslar and the big snake. The snake.
Oh,
that's
Scarath.
Yeah. And I played Old Witch into this, and I think he wants me to play Dreamer, and I think that's pretty close to
actually. I'm going to say, we thought you were going to play Dreamer for specifically this reason, i.e. that you might just die as Old Witch.
100%. Yep, 100%. Like, my entire game, I have to hug the kill box all game long, and I need to be terrified of the prospect that the pig's going to land on her. And, you know, most of the game I'm on 4 camp, and I'm in behind this building that is basically saving me the game, this building. But I, for one, outside of the pig, I out-threaten him. So Naysayers with Boundless Charge and all Desperate Pace, like 15-inch threat is very respectable. Like, and that's almost what makes that Old Witch list work. Like, you couldn't, it'd be shit without Naysayers. And Clocks are just there to basically say, come at me, come and kill a Clock, and then whatever comes to kill Clock, you just kill in return. So he went first, he ran up, I postured in a position where I'm outside of pig range, which is basically in behind a building, among other things. And I give him enough of like a daisy chain of models that he could get to Rorsch onto Old Witch, but it's going to be like a 2-attack Rorsch, and that's not going to kill Old Witch. It would give me Rorsch, and I'm like, I'm super sweet with that. Brian, sorry. But what he did, he's moved his Hermit up in, it was Recon 2. So he moved his Hermit up to contest my flag, and which is really fucking annoying under Rust's feet, right? But Baron Tunglick is the single best Hermit answer in the game. So that little dude walked up in front of Old Witch, then jumped to base the flag that Hermit was contesting, and then he proceeds to consume the Hermit on Rask feet. That felt pretty good. In hindsight, I was a bit stupid because what I could have done, I could have sprayed Hermit with a clock and very easily just made sure he was only double ones to miss. Like, in hindsight, needing a 6 to hit was kind of a longer odds than I should have taken. I basically position everything out. Maybe I give him a clock in one zone. No, I don't even give him that. Everything that was relevant is outside of his threat range. And the game proceeds to grind to a point whereby eventually I can get a charge line on a battle ball that lands a clock next to Rorsch that I'd previously that I'd previously paralyzed, and then the clock proceeds to kill Brian. Soon as Brian is dead, it's like, okay, now I can finally fucking play with Old Witch. Like, this is actually a real game. And I think on that very same turn, I killed the Swamp Horror. So the Swamp Horror had come in to kill a clock because that is just a Swamp Horror's job. They're like the single best clock killers in the game. But then I proceeded to kill the Swamp Horror, which I think is quite a favorable trade for me. The game eventually just comes down to back and forth with me eventually winning on CP because Owlwitch actually gets something to do throughout the game, which was good. It was a super tight game. Enjoyed it quite a lot. I think we both ended the game with, you know, less than 8 minutes on our clock. Yeah.
Nice. That game was sweet. I played Matt Edwards round two before he lost, obviously. He walks up a siege, tries to put out a foxhole, couldn't fit. Oh well. Still walks forward into Vale's army. I was looking, and then he passes turn. I was looking. I was like, huh. Alright, I can run a Harrier there. And then, like, I could Swift Hunter Risen and then shoot him with the Kralix after I icy grip him. So he's going to be, like, minus 6 defense. And then I could use a Bloodseer to, what's it called? Put up the Archangel's Animus and then spray him with the Carnivian. And then the Archangel can also shoot him in case, like, they can roll, like, all at once. Vale goes, rolls an 18 on the chase, and I was like, well, I guess I don't need Archangel. And then the Carnivian just kills him. I was like, huh.
Wow.
This is awkward. GG, easy.
And then hindsight, if he put down the fox, though, he would just also die. He would die a lot easier because he'd be like two camp less. Because like most of my things either don't care about the fox or is like magic 12 or like rat 11. So like you're like, who cares?
How are you magic 12?
Icy Grip, Weaken, and Telemetry.
Oh,
so, yeah, right. Good old.
Sorry, magic 14. Sorry, my bad.
Magic 14?
Oh my god.
Wow.
So it's like, force a hit siege if I need to. It's like, oh, sweet. Okay, yeah. So you play siege. I don't know if that was the correct draw, but I don't think Striker 3 would have been good either. Because two Deathstalker and Kralix kills like a unit of Precursors a turn by themselves.
Yeah, he did have Thamurite Archon, which, like, that thing does randomly get people. It's like, it's a sneaky one. And it's also like, it only needs to see a little bit because it's got True Sight as well.
It's good. Yeah. It's a good model.
It's a good model. But
I just think like the list with two like Kane Zero probably is not the greatest against Vale because at any point it's just like he's dead.
Yeah. I would agree. Yes.
Dude, Vale threatens so long. It's like the board. It's like if you have a junior, you better like have him on like the next table.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that was my second round, and then C just died. He didn't tough either. It was sad.
Siege is tough. Really?
He does have tough.
Cool. Well, there you go. Thanks. All right.
So now we're in the semifinals. All right, what happened in your game, Macy?
I played against Liam in my game, which was Liam's very well known for only being a Pharaoh player, and he took Sturm and Drang and Arcadius. I was terrified he'd play Sturm and Drang. Which meant I couldn't play Old Witch because Polarity Field just turns off Naysayers, and if you turn off Naysayers in that list, it turns out it's pretty shit. So we played Dreamer versus Arcadius. I was really happy he chose Arcadius because even in the Sturm and Drang list, I think that's like a very difficult 50-50 like game that I have no experience into playing Sturm and Drang. Having played Liam a number of times, a fairly decent amount of experience with Arcadius. So I was pretty pumped about that game. This is one of those games where I mean, zero disrespect to Liam. I've had many amazing games against him. But this was unfortunately an easy game under the basis that Clockatrixes are fucked. Like, very few times have I ever like truly recognize the fact that those models are just utter shit. We had a
that says something about your character.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe I didn't recognize it early enough. We'll see. I've long enjoyed them, but this game is just one of the ones that made me go, wow, this is just absolutely terrible. So it was a game. I forget the scenario. The two really wide circles, and in both on the like middle edge of each circle, there's quite a large building, which is like yeah. I said before, I think it's just like Dreamer Funland.
I think it's Anarchy, so basically.
Anarchy, that's the one, yeah. I end up picking the flank in which had the most forward building, which was my right hand side, and I essentially just ran up in behind the building. Like in this 10-inch clump, all my shit beside them, like a gorehound or two, were in this 10-inch clump, like brick as I'll get. And he runs his guys up. I fortunately got first turn. He positions his beasts in such a way that are very clearly in assault range. And I think he even measured like the assault, like the 17-inch assault on some of his beasts. I think he wanted my clocks to come forward. And be in a position that I was only, you know, 5 or 6 inches away from all his beasts. And obviously those clocks will die, right? And he doesn't even need to burn his feet to kill those clocks. And I'm thinking that's a terrible idea. So I just hate to say it, like it's not like amazing tactical acumen, but I just continued to brick in behind the building. But my forwardmost elements were the clocks. And the clocks were kind of in a position such that he couldn't get any of the stuff behind the clocks. And I stopped any landing zone of any, like, ghost-walked pig that could have landed next to a clock in behind the building, if you know what I mean. So really the only thing I'm giving him is two clocks. And I think maybe I gave him a gremlin swarm, like just in making it difficult for landing spots.
Brilliant.
So on his turn, he needs to feat to get all of his pigs in range, but I mean he probably didn't need to feat to get at least get like two of them in range. But one of the first things he does, I think, is with a void arc on, I want to say, or with a model, I can't remember what, he essentially moves up and he sprays down to get a landing zone clear for the pigs to land on the clocks. So he sprays down a gremlin swarm, and immediately I just ill omens. Ill omens, I think, is such a good arcana. I struggle not to take ill omens now. I think it's so clutch. Well,
if you listened to our cast earlier, you would know what our thoughts on that arcana are. It is, yeah. It's the unsung hero of a lot of matchups.
Absolutely. And I know heaps of Gremkin players just like auto just pick Sacrifice and Labyrinth. Labyrinth is a very good arcana. It's fucking useless against Arcadius, what it's worth, because he threats forever, like 30-inch threat range. But Ill Omens is my go-to with Sacrifice. So many games. So he's able to...
I picked all 6 rounds of the WTC is Ill Omens Sacrifice.
Yeah, dude, but... Like, that was Wanderer. Ill Omens is 100% mandatory against Wanderer, with Wanderer, in my opinion. So he ends up landing a Roadhog that had Boomheller 2 Repo on it into one of my clocks, does a bit of work, clock obviously stutters away, and I'm thinking, oh, this is sweet. Like, there's now no landing spot whatsoever for next Warhound, or, Warhog. But I totally forgot about the Repo 3 on the Roadhog, which is clutch as fuck. Like, that's an awesome ability. I really, really like Boomy 2. But he's able to move out. But in the way in which he was going to move, he was going to sort of clip some rough terrain. And I didn't realize that those guys don't have Pathfinder anymore, and they don't get it from the +2 speed buff that they get, which...
Oh, the Roadhogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, curious.
Yeah, like, I mean, I might just be talking shit, but in the very least, that rough terrain piece was causing Liam a bit of nightmares. So he positioned in such a way to get out of the landing spot of the Warhog on the clock that had already been hit, and he did that just fine. But then he sort of got in a position where he was blocking off his other Warhog landing onto my other clock. And he couldn't really avoid that because I'd, like, crowded in behind the building so very closely. So he then gets his Warhog into the clock that had stuttered already, and he does a bit of work, and that clock stutters again out of range. And then the other Warhog then charges the other clock, and then the clock stutters out of range. So essentially I had an Arcadius feat to kill one Gremlin Swarm and do roughly 25-ish boxes on two clocks. And I'm just like, okay.
Well played. Well played.
Yes.
Tactical genius.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I just, again, meaning no offense to Liam, because he was up against a rock in a hard place. It's just like, this list is kind of designed to beat
Arcadius. A clock in a hard place. Sorry, I had to say that.
A clock in a hard place, that's right.
Yes.
So he does make, he's kind of trying to make the best of a bad situation on his turn, the remainder of his turn. And the clock that had stuttered twice had time lock up, and it was essentially just time locking a Void Archon, which was on the other side of the building. But time locking him meant that he couldn't just walk over the building to kill another Gremlin Swarm to basically port into a position to get, what is it called? No healing on my clock.
Entropic. Yep.
Entropic aura. So instead, he moves the Void Archon over that way and just instead tries to spray the Gremlin Swarm. So he gets a Gremlin Swarm, a Rattler, a Gorehound, maybe some other stuff. But he misses the 8 that he needs to get the Gremlin Swarm. And he misses it on the dice. He misses it by 1. So essentially Ill Omens keeps him alive. And he was in a position where he could have run the Void Archon to be able to proc Entropic Force, but he wanted to get value. So he wanted to get into melee, and I think that just made a bad turn just cascade into a terrible turn, because obviously on my turn, both clocks are fully functional, and I proceed to kill 3 heavies, and 2 Void Archons, and some superfluous other shit. And, like, this is my turn 3, so it's basically now 5 heavies to 1, and 3 lights to 3 lights. But there was no way in which I can lose that game, unfortunately. Like, from that game state, yeah, it was unfortunate for Liam. And by golly, our clock's just shit. That's my take.
So you table him that he killed a Gremlin Swarm. Well played.
He killed some more stuff later. But yeah, I finished the game with, I think, 3 heavies and all of my lights. So. And I finished the game
disgusting.
A ton of CPs to his 0, yeah.
Absolutely filthy.
Yeah. So then, in the final.
Well, we have to quickly cover my semifinals, which was very unfortunate, but it happened. So I'm playing as Aaron Whale, you know, overall. Greatest Crix player ever, and a well-rounded, lovely guy. So, we play Anarchy. So, it was on sorry?
No, don't worry. Go on.
So, I was like, I bet he's going to play Scar. And then, he wouldn't tell me. So, I was like, alright, we go to the table. I put Bale down. He drops the Negro 1. I was like, huh. Okay. Because I didn't really think too much about Danny 1. I just assumed I was going to kill her at, like, turn 4 or something. So I won the first die roll, which turned out to be, like, the most important roll for the game, because it was pretty sad. So I run up the Archangel 14 inches up the middle. I was like, this is going to be sweet. And then I look up, and then I run out of shit. And I look across. He starts, like, putting focus out on his things. I was like, what is he allocating for? What's he possibly going to get to me? And I was like, he's like, these two are on Iacos. I was like, oh yeah. Because the Archangel is flying high, right? So the Leviathan walking 5, it can only threat 15. And then it's like, wait, these two threat 17. I was like, you know, if Denny feeds and Parasite, this angel might die bottom of 1. if the Leviathan rolls enough shots. But a couple of good things for me. Actually, just one good thing. It's turn one, so you cannot put an escort up yet, which means you can max have two focus on the Leviathan. So I was like, oh, cool.
Which means... And more... did Tom just get cut off?
No, I can hear.
Okay, can you hear? Weird.
Yeah, basically, so I was like, it is kind of dicey, because it's like, if he rolls three shots, and he... So let's... So if you do the math really quickly, right? So the Archangel's armor 19 with 50 boxes. He feeds and does all this shit as armor 14. So Leviathans are dice plus ones. So if he rolls, let's say, four shots between the two of them, right? It's like average-ish. So four boosted damage rolls is around 47. So it's like three off. Okay. Which I thought, if I was him, I would have just gone for it. But I guess he's not a fan of Leviathan, like, rolling dicey Leviathan math. So he didn't go for it, which I was super happy about. Because in my head, even if he went for it, it's like, well, I guess I could just kill him because they have to, like, parasite and, like, do all this shit. But in my head, when he was thinking about it, I was like, oh my god, if he goes for it, I don't think I can come back from this because I just threw away my Colossal on top of one. But luckily, he didn't go for it. So the unfortunate thing was, he's playing Denny One, like a three Leviathan, Corruptor, Death Ripper, and then like a unit of small Grouchers, and then some solos. So his footprint on the table is very small. Which meant that me playing Vale can dictate the scenario like very happily because I went first. I get to dictate how we like start the peace train and the scenario all that stuff. Because we're basically playing two gun lines. So he puts some Cephalix in the zone. He puts his one of the Gallows Scroll. I don't know. It's not a Gallows Scroll. What's that thing called? It's like a defense 5 armor 16 thing that collects corpses. Puts that in the other zone. Just outside of the range for a Hellmouth to get Tentacle to charge it. So I spent a Carnivian to get rid of that. And then I have Kralix. So first time I tried to kill the Cephalix, I was like, oh, these guys have stacked on dredges. And I was like, and then I tried to shoot him with Kralix. And then he was like, well, you're outside the 5, so you missed. I was like, well, yeah, that's definitely a rule from 5 years ago. And they have stealth now. So I wasted a turn of, like, Kralix and activation trying to do it. And then, as a genius, I put up the guidance on my desktop to try to do the same thing. Didn't work, so I had to pause the scenario for a turn. But it didn't end up mattering. He put some token models in the zone. He puts Ragman in the spot where the other contesting model is. I run the Herder, the Carney just walks out of my control, sprays it like a rat, 7, doesn't matter, roll it, 7. The Archangel goes up, blows up the objective. Kralix, this time with guidance, very easily kills all of the Cephalix with the Herder. So it's like, so it's aiming at rat 11, and it was like, rat 11, and then 3 dice damage. God, that, I love that model so much. And then it kills the Zoe. Vale runs over to score it, and then the other side, I have Tentacles scoring both zones, and then, yeah. It was a very uneventful game. I think I won on the bottom of... I won on the top of 3, so... It could have been a lot better, but me going first with playing a gun line off, it just meant that whoever goes first is really favored on scenario.
Yeah, that's what... I was talking to Whaley after the game, and he said... I reckon I'm in an okay spot if I go first, but losing going first, lost in the game, in his opinion.
I think so too. Well, it is going first with in the gun line up is just so good, especially like these kind of gun lines where they can actually fight and have like a decent melee third range also. It's just like going first, it just means you didn't dictate the table so much.
Go first also means your upkeeps get out really early, and you can threaten to kill the other guy's caster. Like, if he has his escort up and he can threat it, he can dictate more the positioning with his Leviathans. That's huge bonus So he's the one running at you then, and like hiding Leviathans behind buildings and whatever, and just being like, okay, well, if Vale comes anywhere forward, or your Archangel does, I'm going to assassinate your Archangel. You're like, well, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. But I did, we get to the finals, which at this point, everyone was very confused by it, because there's like a Legion player in the finals.
We weren't confused so much as concerned. Concerned that no one would ever take Australia seriously. I mean, we haven't really done much in terms of War Machine, but if we'd let a Legion player, like, you know, win the finals, then all of our past accomplishments, winning the WTC twice and doing generally, having a bunch of generally great characters at War Machine, completely would be forgotten.
It would be nothing.
It would be nothing. So, not going to lie, Tom, we were really hoping Batesy won, so at least some semblance of sanity would be restored.
Oh, man, it was so funny, too, because before the finals, cause when we found out me playing P, we just went to E. And then I think Jack was mega tilted this weekend, which was, it was hilarious. I laughed so hard at that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was the, what would you call it? Because we went to get, like, we went to Red Rooster or something for chicken, and I can't remember what he called it. It was like commiseration chicken? No.
Yeah.
What did he call it? Like, it was like...
I think it was just sadness chicken.
Sadness like, chicken? That's what it was, sadness chicken.
Because he played Whaley in round two, right? And then, like, he did a feat because he didn't think he needed it, and then Whaley killed him to the box through backlash.
Yep.
And then I won, right? And then we found, before we, and then we went to eat, and then this was after I played Whaley, and then he was just thinking, like, so I lost because I didn't beat, and then Tom's in the finals. Because if he would have beat Whaley, I would have played him. I think I have pretty sure it's a 0% chance of winning against Kraos with Enid. Let's just say if I put both of my lists on the table, I would have still have a 0% chance to beat Kraos.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be great. No.
No, it would have been straight awful. I would have, if I throw my whole army, I don't think I can kill Midnight Archon. And then, like, any of those things get onto me, it was going to be, it basically gets pasted. It's basically like, imagine, like, in playing Mario, right? And then you get the star, you're invincible. And then just imagine his army is all invincible. And then just, like, lawnmowering my army. So I was really happy he lost. And then him, because I borrowed Mala from Jack, and then he was just like going through like the seven steps of like grief. It was just like angry, and then he was sad, and it's like, if Tom wins, I have to play Legion for CanCon, and then he starts making lists. Yeah. It was really funny. Like,
Jack making Legion lists was utterly hilarious. Just like, try to make something, just trying to make anything work, and like, nah, this isn't gonna work. And then, like, him mentally having to fight with himself for having to try and put Bloodseers in the list. The Bloodseers weren't the problem, though. It was the Carnivian that was following it around.
That is a massive tax, that model.
Yeah.
Bloodseers are really good.
But yeah, the heaviest backing up is not as great. So we play this final, and then, I knew what he was playing. I know what he's playing. It's like Dreamer and Old Witch. I was like, if I play Fae, and then he drops Old Witch, it's going to be like a 20-80 matchup. And then in my head, it was like, well, I think he played Dax, right? He'd only have one Cage Rager, and then his Clocks and Lights, I think, is slightly better for me. And then so I decided to drop Dax to be safe. Now, and then I talked to Pat afterward, and he was like, probably the Dax list against that Dreamer list is probably around a 20. It's not great either, so I probably just should have. So it ended up being just like a coin flip of which bad match I want to play. So I probably just should have dropped Vale, considering the Old Witch is actually weak to one of the lists. So
yeah,
that's what logic would have been if I had like put more thoughts into it.
In the lead up, we were sort of chatting away, and you kept talking about the Armor 24 Nephilim. Yeah. And I'm like, I 100% reckon that you are trying to get in my head and say that I'm definitely dropping this Dags list, definitely, definitely, and you're just going to bail me. So it took a lot for me not to drop Old Witch, eh?
Because, oh my god, if you would have dropped Old Witch, I would have laughed so hard.
Oh, it's that.
Not going to lie.
it would be a terrible game for me, for sure.
Because I think that's the only bad matchup in the grid, if like possible. Because I think Dreamer's good. Dreamer's like not terrible into Veil, but it's like better for me. But Dreamer's really good at the DAX, and then like I think that would have been your worst choice that you could possibly make if you did it.
Yeah, yeah, particularly with you ending up with DAX, for sure.
Yeah.
I felt way more comfortable with Old Witch into Veil though.
Yeah. So we decided to play DAX against Dreamer. A couple of things from my point of view in the matchup is like the lights are gonna be a big problem for me because like I don't really have good ways in that DAX to kill lights. So like the Carnivian doesn't kill anything, and then the other two heavies need to like stand. Not. Sorry?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
As ever spot.
Yeah, and then the other two heavies kind of just need to stand in the center. What was the scenario we played, Pete? Do you remember? Recon 2?
Spread the net. It was spread the net,
yeah. Which is a good scenario for Dreamer.
It is, because you have, like, infinite solos to, like, make.
Yeah.
You have so many flag bitches. So very many.
So in my head, it was like, I don't, like... I can't really deal with the lights, and then they turn out to be really problematic. Like, even the Rattler, because I think it just, like, stood there and got... It took up space, so it couldn't run models through to, like, contest. But, like, the Gorehounds were, like, a big problem, because you could have... There was, like, a lot of good terrain pieces you could just use to, like, Lightning Strike with Manifest Destiny. They can, like, just clear things and then run away. And they can also just run up and engage, like, my solos, so they can get out to do things they need to do. So that was problematic. I think my list was actually a lot really very clock proof. So as in like none of those things really wants to charge. Like the Carnies charging is just bad for me because it's not doing anything. Azrael can just throw spears around. It's a lot better at throwing spears than fighting, like honestly. And then Zeriel, like the clock sprays around, is paralyzed, but it has precision strike. And the list has like Draconic Blessing and Ice Gauge doesn't harm, so even with Clock Spaces, Zero can pretty easily wire around it without triggering Stutter. And then the Bloodseers kind of just stands around, so.
Zero is an exceptional model into Clocks, for sure. He's just too expensive for doing what he wants to do. That's his only problem.
Oh, 100%. And then I think the one last issue was just going to be, I just don't know if that list could, like, if he like just break up a head and run heavies at me, I don't know if my list could deal with all of them at the same time. So that was my three concerns going into it.
I think one of the good things that I did was I was able to land that Gorehound on Kralix in melee up in like your far right flank.
Yes.
So basically Kralix is getting to do nothing all game, and he was able to do that inside of a wood. Yeah. So he was still gonna stop. Because he's got gunfighter, right? He's just got melee attack.
She just has two melee attacks with poison. But it's just mass 6, so it's not likely to hit a Gorehound. And then because you put him completely in the woods, I couldn't get Ice Cage on it because it was like I needed you go to 6 things, I need a 9 unless I want to run the Bloodseer over. Even then, I need a 7. So it was not going to be great. So I was just like, Kralix, the best option here is just try to like swing at you and then try to see if I get lucky. And if I hit you both, I'd probably kill you with poison. So the Gorehound just ended up being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, both Gorehounds were huge in this game. I think that Gorehound on my left, that one, he kills Kralix, he kills one Black Frost Shard member, a bloody Arknode, and he just contests that zone all game long behind a wood because of Repo or Sprint. One on my right, he probably end up racking up a good like 8 Hex Hunters, which is ironic because that's usually about the number that you want to see a Rattler kill, but the Gorehound was just doing the Rattler's job for him. I think when I ended up being the one to alpha on you with one clock into Azrael with the intention of killing two Blackrock Shards.
Yeah.
One of which was the
harm guy,
which in my mind is the correct play, but it did feel real cheap losing a heavy that easily. I think you take that clock with Zuriel, which was always going to happen. With absolutely almost zero support, I think, which was a bit frustrating.
No, I was expecting it was great because normally I don't do this, right? So normally I don't load up the Forsaken's turn one because Daggeross doesn't really have fury issues. But I figure if I put up a shard and then like some other shit, then you might send a clock and try to scalpel it. So that previous turn I loaded a Forsaken with fury. Just think, in case if the clock comes up, I can go and blight bomb it. It did happen, and then it did like a pretty decent amount of damage. Because it's not an attack, so it doesn't trigger stunner either. So I had like a lot of insurance.
That was huge, actually.
Yeah, I had a lot of... The Forsaken was MVP this game, but it didn't... Yeah. It needed more throughput from other things.
Ah, oh, beautiful, though. Still love it.
So I think on the following turn, I'm able to kill both of the Bloodseers who got into my ship. But the one on the right takes a clock activation and a skin and moans. I think it was just the skin. He did good. With a bit of help with a rattler and a skinny boy, they kill him. But they take heaps and heaps of damage from Spiny. The one on my left, though, he was a boss. He needed both a skin and boy, skin and moans, and the cage rager to finish him off, which put them in a position whereby they were in charge range of both Azrael and Zuriel. And I was pretty surprised in my following turn to lose both of those guys under feet. Under the death knell, because the skinny boy, he only had two corpses on him, but he's still armor 20, and he's death 13. When you took both of those and on the same turn, my rightmost Forsaken fucking blight blombed the world and did 22 boxes of damage on the skin and moans on that side and did heaps of other damage there.
This was also where the mistake came in because,
100%.
My mistake was that
clock on that side should have 100% killed that, Forsaken. There was no reason why I didn't. Like, I ended up...
No, you got greedy. You tried to paralyze the Cardivian. I was like...
Correct.
So sweet. I was like...
It was a waste. It really was, unfortunately.
Yeah, because if you have actually played against Legion, like a Cardivian chassis in the past, like, let's say, like, 2 months, you have not cared about that Cardivian doing anything in that game.
Yeah, I guess I was just probably a little bit, surprised that just how much damage the Forsaken did, honestly. I didn't respect, turns out when you roll 6 dice on a fucking skin and moans, you do quite a lot of damage.
Yeah. You just basically embrace your inner, 40k and just, throw some dice on the table and see what happens.
Yeah.
But there was one issue with this whole operation, so... Obviously, like P said, 2 heavies died, and then the Forsaken did a bunch of damage. Now against Grimkin, you have to do this in a very particular order, where you kill the heavy first, and then you do the Forsaken. And then I got too happy, because the Forsaken didn't get attacked. I was like, ooh, let's do the Forsaken first, because normally it's just like a... It's just a throwaway activation, because it's going to happen. Like, you can't really stop it. And then it's like, wait a minute. After I did that, I was like, oh, no, I have to kill this too heavy. I was like, awkward. And then I was like, let's hope he forgets. And he didn't forget. So the Forsaken living didn't actually matter. But in my defense...
roughly 40 points of damage, I reckon.
Yeah.
Probably around
In my defense, later on when we tried to attack the same Skinemos, we did not hit it a lot. So it didn't actually didn't matter.
You just tank, whereas the Cage Rager, the earlier one, and the earlier Skinemones, rather, they were paper. This one was just pure solid granite.
Yeah. So, I had the big turn, right, where I killed 2 heavies, and I was feeling pretty good. But then, at that point, looking back, it's, I'm kind of already, getting pressure on scenario a bit, because, we're starting to run out of solos to, score my flag, and then your lights are kind of, approaching my side, the Gorehound and the Rattler on the ones on your side is getting to my flag, and then you have Grimnos swarms everywhere. So it was I'm kind of getting surrounded, and then you came back, and then obviously Dreamer has RFE everywhere. So my two, all the things I get killed are feet. So Daggers was never getting a feat this game. And then eventually I just got choked out. And I just like, I was going to position, I was just going to lose on scenario.
I remember your quote when basically you looked at the, because Batesy, it was neck and neck on the scenario until Batesy is like, well, you know what? I think it's time for you to like lose. Tiny Mouse here, the other guy here, Gorehand will go here, and I'll score 4 points past turn. And you, you listed the steps necessary to avoid losing on scenario that turn. It was something like you'd have to take 3 free strikes with one of your heavies to contest by running. You'd have to have one of your guys solo his death knell, which, as established, Legion heavies are excellent at hitting power 12. Armor defense 12 targets. And you would, if you did that, still lose on scenario, but lose by less.
Yeah. So then at that turn, I was like, you know what, let's just try to kill things. So I killed a death knell after like 3 turns. God, that death knell was so frustrating to kill. So like first Daggeros charged it.
The beast.
Did 4 damage after like spending his whole stack. I was like, ooh, that's not great. All right. Because I was, original plan was that Daggeros goes in, tries to kill the death knell, and then Azrael can kill the Skedemos. So it did not happen. But what's it called? Batesy was busy running and winning scenarios. So he didn't cast manifest that turn, so Azrael lived, but it didn't matter. So the next turn, Cardigan tries to kill, charges the death knell, doesn't kill it. Everyone was surprised. I was just like, it's Mass 6, whatever. This is going to happen to me at some point, and then it happened now, which I guess it was a good time to happen because it didn't matter at all. And then eventually I killed the death knell and then maybe killed the Skinnamos, but he just like won like 10 to 4 on scenario.
Yeah. I think the game, like in the middle, like the scrum, that middle zone, neither of us were ever going to get it. We were going to fight attrition for like 12 turns if it played out, right? It was going to be ridiculous long. It was the peripheral stuff that I won. And that won me the game.
Yeah, the eventual ending to that game is one clock paralyzing Daggeros, and then I swing at you one time and then you're teleporting away. And then we do that forever. But then you were just going to win a scenario always. So that was not great.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was CP win. I think it was like ended up being like 10 to 3 on a CP win. Maybe it was like 11 to 3. Anyway, it was good. I was pretty happy. I was super pumped to win.
Nice work, Batesy. Not only did you win the Super Series, you avoided eternal embarrassment.
I know.
The stake was really high on that game for no good reason. Because it's like, man, that win with these like airport Legion lists they came up with is going to be sick.
I've got to say, not putting you down at all, but I was hoping Whaley was going to beat you, just so I get to play Whaley in the final. I've played Whaley, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 times, maybe more, and I've never beat him, and I was feeling real good about the matchup. I was on a run as well.
Oh, Whaley's out for blood right now, so you could probably you'll probably see him at CanCon, I'm sure, and then you could avenge your Resnik loss.
Yeah, now I'm going to play him with, like, a faction that I'm going to have, like, 2 dozen games with before I get there instead of, like, Grimkin that I've been playing for.
I think what you mean is you're going to play him with a faction that has better Veil too, so, you know. I think we've figured out it yourself there, Batesy.
Just go face, yeah. Just go face is not really a play style that I like to play. I'll give you my favorite random stat of the weekend, outside of me winning, because that was pretty awesome, is I got 35 control points in 4 games. So the next highest, I think, was like 26. I was pretty pumped about that. That's not the type of player that goes face, buddy.
No.
I think I had like 7 control points.
You had 13, mate.
Excellent. Nice.
Yes. At least you broke double digits, I'm sure. Oh, still, regardless, shit talk aside, congratulations to you both. And it was an interesting weekend, kind of eventful too.
I had 3 excellent, excellent games and then a bit of a blowout. Like, in my game against Tom, like Tom Oliver, that is, like round one, I could have 100% lost that game. Tom was playing like out of his skin, playing real, real well, and the dice were going for him, and yeah, just turns out that dream is real good. Real good.
Turns out.
Well, as I've said it enough times, like, Grimkin are kind of like trolls with counter spells, and trolls versus circle is kind of like one of those matches of the ages, because you can sometimes, like, circle have to make the moves, but by God, can they make some moves? And at least, like, yeah. Well, you've got access to basically, as Grimkin, you've got access to defensive tools to hopefully, like, mitigate it, but you still got to do it right. If you don't do it right, it's not good. It's not pretty.
Yeah. Sure.
Man, if you would have lost, I figure I would probably be playing against a Colin in the finals, which has been hilarious.
I think that feels more winnable, but that's only because. But I think Colin would have probably still gotten it through some kind of BS. Because you know how Colin is. Yeah. He'll have somehow lose the early game despite having an army that is definitely capable of killing Bloodseers.
Yeah,
and then claw it back somehow.
I think I'll probably play Veiled and try to assassinate all the Lessers.
Yeah, that's much more. That's definitely much more possible. Is like I'm pretty sure Rorsch just dies to Veil somehow, and then yeah. Colin gets a sad, and then tries some shit, and then from there you just see what happens.
Yeah, it wasn't fun though, but yeah, Legion was pretty good, and then surprisingly. And then we talked a lot of shit that week to Jack because he didn't win. And he came fourth and won his own award.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he did.
He didn't even bring that award home.
No, he left. He was so tilted.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
Jack Ding Ward of most disappointment.
Yep.
Fuck you, guy.
So next up is CanCon, which is, I think, what weekend is it again?
It's Australia Day long weekend, so that should be the 26th of January starting.
Yeah,
I think the 26th is like the Monday, isn't it?
No, that's a Sunday. So it's the 24th through 27th, long weekend. I can't even remember which one Australia Day actually is.
It's
going to
be fun.
It's 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th.
Yeah,
Australia Day is on the 26th.
The Friday is my birthday, and we can go eat a million dumplings for that.
Well, we will anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll need more excuses to eat dumplings, but yes, I agree.
Oh, man. I don't know what I'm playing yet. I'm thinking about borrowing some Signar from Frawley, but all the lists I sent him is getting disapproved, so it might be a long haul.
That probably means they're good lists, so let's be fair, but...
No, I found some old, like, Haley 3 lists from, like, last year that I kind of want to play again.
No, fair. I'll put it this way, like, I think there's a lot to be said for Flames in the Darkness. That Lumius is a lot, it's really good.
I do like that theme, but I don't like the caster involved with that theme. I might just play Striker 2. I like that guy. He's good.
Striker 2 is fine for it. Like, I think Striker 2 or 3 are both fine for that. Striker 3 actually primarily is because he has a better Alexia. Like, let me be blunt. Like, the whole reason I actually like Flames in the Darkness is because Alexia becomes a Signar model. Like, that's pretty much it. You got some other shenanigans as well. Like, if you play Alexia 1, you can attach Battle Priests to her unit. And that means that you have easy access to a unit that you can shield guard into to trigger vengeance. But I think in general, Alexia 2 is still probably stronger. And Striker 3's Alexia 2 is just hilarious.
Yeah, but I kind of just want to play Haley. Mostly because I want to play Thorn.
And you can just play model. You can play just like Haley and like what you call it.
I want to play Gravediggers with the Morrowind Archon.
Yeah,
only get one though. I've tried to make a few lists of it, but yeah.
I don't think Morrowind Archon. Actually, let's go into something because like this was a topic that Tom floated a while back for like just a way to round out this cast of like what to say and
yeah.
Well, one of them is like ranking the Archons that we've actually played them, and I'm gonna start with the Morrowind Archon. I don't think you need more than one.
I'm very unimpressed by that model, but every time I look at it, dude, it's just like a giant. It's basically a Bloodseer in my head.
It's a blood. Yes, that's more or less what it is. The most I've been impressed is actually not by the men of the Moron Archon, but by the models around it. The Thamorite Archon. Like, what happens is, it's like, if it's protecting its bros, the Thamorite Archons, then those things are like Def 18 with a shield guard, which means, given that that model's particular skill set, it's just ridiculous.
He's also very good at keeping both Alexias alive. Like, him standing behind Alexia 1, and you, like, if you can't kill him because you've got a Battle Priest or two around him, Alexia 1 just doesn't fucking die. And then at some point, eventually gets vengeanced into a juicy spot and does, you know, God's work.
I like it
quite a bit.
It's
kind of boring in a way. Like, it's not the pizzazz that, like, the Thamorite Archon or the Void or the Menoth one, like, but it's just going to do consistent, slow, decent buffing throughout the game that you're going to be happy with that you brought it at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm still going to stand by it, though. You don't need two. You just need the one.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Now, the Thamorite Archon, on the other hand, that thing is, it's subtle. It's less, like, in-your-face good as
expected. There's nothing subtle about that model. That thing is just straight good, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
it's like some matchups you'd think that, it doesn't really do anything because it's only just a power 12, like, D3 shot guy. So power 14 D3 shot guy. And you're like, oh, actually, like, it has every RFP in existence. Just casually. Yeah.
Yes, if you play as power 12, I agree, it's not going to be as good as his real stats.
I mean, power 14 is somewhat better, I agree. But it's more like against bricks and stuff. You're like, oh, maybe it wouldn't do anything. But I've never seen a model so capable of picking out support than this fuckwit. And if you badly position against it at all, then one of your models is getting exploded in its, like, ash bomb. Also, this model has incredible synergy with Alexia, you know, a good thing, because thralls are some of the best models to shoot with eruption of ash to turn into, well, ash clouds, right? Effectively means that any one of your rando thralls pretty much becomes a power 12, you know, flame explosion, which is very good to have.
But yeah, I think that model is excellent.
That is better with just regular Risen.
Yeah, that's like, what I mean.
I thought you were talking about the Webmaster dudes, the solos.
Both of them, it's true, but yes, this one is specifically, I was referring to regular Alexia, because it's just so good.
I think the Thamorite Archon is the reason why I like Alexia 1 more than 2 in this. I think Alexia 2, in general, is a better model for its points. But the combination of Vengeance and being able to make a pseudo Cloud War, because if you take 2, you should reliably hit...
You'll get 4 shots, yeah.
I would mentally bank on 3, but, like, 3 is a 9-inch Cloud War. Like, that's plenty wide.
Yeah, and that's also, I think Alexia is also, like, I mean, Signar already in flames benefits from having access to Merkjacks, which means it, frankly, has access to Tauros and Nomads and other actually useful Warjacks.
And as a side note, Striker 3 Tauros are very good.
they're pretty good.
Poor Rosie got countercharged on Striker 3's feet. That was hilarious.
That was pretty 22 funny.
22 damage. He did 22 damage against the Wall Warden.
Serious? Fuck me.
Yep.
Because that feat randomly lasts around for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I mean, Striker 3, like, I'll be honest, Striker 3 has a better Alexia 2 because, like, that feat plus Alexia 2 is good. Like, Striker 3's one is... If he's ever going to be good, it'll be in Flames and Darkness. And I think I'm with you, Tom, is I'd prefer Striker 2 because I just like that guy better. Like, he's actually cool and stuff. But bravo, we've actually figured out a place where Striker 3 actually has some playability.
I think for some crazy reason, you guys are all glossing over what is the correct Flames of the Darkness caster, and that is Fiona. Fiona is fucking amazing. In that thing.
Oh, yeah. No, we were talking about Signar first, yeah. Right? Like,
why don't you just play Mercs? You should just play Mercs for the CanCon, basically.
Me? Because that friend of mine that I mentioned earlier, Shane Patmore, he's got all of my Mercs right now.
Just tell him to go. Tell him that Legion got second at the what's it called? The Invitational, and then you can play Legion again. There you go.
Emotional.
This is proven facts. You don't need don't need to question it. There you go.
I just like it.
Hey, this will be fun.
So other Archons.
Melee Archon is still very good. But I think it's less good than before because the Void Archon came out. Or maybe it's just because it has a limitation as a melee combat solo. It cannot do everything.
Realistically, I'm gonna stand by this. The Metal Archon is just the best in a vacuum in general, and the specific reason why is that it always works. All it needs is you to kill one of its friends, and then it just gets all of its rules turned on. And that isn't really that hard to set up. Also, like, it has a nice suite of meta abilities. It has Dispel. It has a built-in accuracy buff. It's also matte, like, huge. Everything about it just works out of the tin. That does mean it kind of suffers a bit from the Meruan Archon problem. That's kind of boring. But as things go, that's not really that big an issue, right?
Nah, that's a good kind of boring. I like. Look, I'm never gonna complain if people put Midnight Archon on their list. But
Menoth Mirror, you want the Menoth Archon, right? And why do you want it? It's because it's a super reliable solo that also kills Harvey's models, right? Like, that's but why? And you're like, okay, I'll accept any part of that argument.
No, what you really want is the best Archon, which is the Void one.
Ah, yes, the Void Daddy. If anyone's ever played, Stone and remembers the Void Lord, that's pretty much what I picture these things as.
I would absolutely agree and say I think the Void Archon is the best.
Man, that model is so good. It's kind of insane how good it is.
I want to use that model. So I am very close to wanting to bust out my Sevilex again, just for those two bad boys.
That thing is, it's very, like, don't get me wrong, like, I may think the Menoth Archon might be better in, like, a vacuum, but in its ideal environment, the Void Archon, when it sprays three models to death, at least three models to death, and then collects more than three souls back in, and then, like, puts them out as more damage and more buffs, and then teleports away, so, like, you can get seven turns of work out of that model. And it's not even that hard. It's actually not even that unexpected as well in the ideal matchups. And the catch is that matchups you tend to want the Void Archon in, they can't help but give you the living models to, like, Kallax souls off of and spray to death and do all that kind of crazy shit. Like, stuff like Infernals. Infernals have, well, their entire army is living unless you're playing into Kara Sloan, right? Stuff like, say, Menoth.
A lot of them are soulless, though. I'll say that. Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
A lot of them are soulless, though, so you can't get their souls.
That's okay, because there's a lot of living twerps that you can get the souls off of. And more importantly, the Void Archon stops the Infernals from stealing your souls, which actually is probably its biggest use in that matchup.
Yes. That is such a tilting rule, in my opinion, in the current meta. My God, that's huge. And it is like a redeeming factor for the Morrowind one, because I think the Morrowind one, it tends to enlist that take a lots of dudes, right? So, and lots of dudes tend to fall victim to any soul collection ability.
That's very, also very... why I kind of want the Morrowind Archon in the Haley list, just because so don't, like, random people don't steal the Trencher souls.
Yeah, exactly. Then we've got the, like, I mean, what's there to say about the Void Archon? Like, if you haven't played one, it's one of the most fun models I've ever played in my life. Like, fuck, I painted one up for the Super Series. The thing is just, it's mint. It's just good fun. And I've got a second Void Archon, which I have a special idea in mind for how to convert that thing. But we'll see how it goes. It's...
Did you see Liam's two Void Archon?
I didn't. No.
So because he's... He's got a pig theme army, right? And it's Arcadius, and that's his favorite caster. So instead of wings, what he's done is he's got syringes on their back. And I know that sounds weird, but it looks freaking awesome, hey?
It is very good. Very
it's
good.
It's the Sepulix thing going on, except gigantic. I kind of like it. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And then the final two Archons, like, they're kind of... One of them, I think, is a sleeper hit for than actually good, and that's the Dunia one. And I say that because I think it's a hurt ability every turn. Its main problem, I think, is that all the faction are kind of shit, and Circle kind of don't want it. But
I think if it's in like one of the infantry themes for trolls, it is really good. It's just in the wrong theme list. I mean, it's in the right theme list. It's probably quite good in Power of Dunia, but I think if you put it in, I don't know why fluff wise you would, but if you could put it in the Look, dudes of the North, it'd be legit. Yeah,
if you put it in Stormer, I mean, that's the thing, is you can put it in as a merc choice, and more importantly, it's actually a free card choice in every one of their themes, right? Like, they almost all their themes can just take a Dunian Archon for free, but you only get the one, right? Like, yeah, Water and Bears seems legit.
Yeah.
It's like probably a Calandra list, because, like, Dunian Archon's following around champions that gets a Hermit in return sounds hilarious.
Yeah, or like Madrak one as well could probably do it. I'm sure there's a list somewhere. There has to be something there, but no one's really discovered it. And frankly, a lot of people have to be convinced to even be trolls in the first place, let alone play Mr. Potato Head. Or sorry, Miss Potato Head.
I'll play trolls at some other time. We'll see how that goes.
I agree. Anyway, and then there's the Primal Archon, which I think has one home, but is a pretty good home. And that home is in Maelok. Yeah. That fucker at Armored 23 is like, well, at that point, he actually is a Nephilim Mudseer, except can actually do damage.
I thought that was quite good in Ben's list in Kruger 2. Obviously, you got to take a very unusual Secret Masters list. But he turns them on.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, when I played into the Primal Archon, that ability that has to shadowbind stuff when you go in, like, much, but it is mega tilting. How normally we commit models, it's like, even in the back of your head, that, like, thing that they might not die, or they might be awkward to remove? Not so. If they go in on against the Primal Archon, the next turn they are 100% dead.
Yeah. Another thing that's... I absolutely 100% think it would be so good with Wanderer, like, because you've got the counter charge scenario, like shenanigans and the shadow bind shenanigans. The problem is Hermit in my opinion is mandatory in that list.
Yeah, well, you can't play Wanderer without Hermit.
And those but those fucking things would be great under Hermit.
It's actually a shame because Grimkins, one of their weaknesses is that they don't have an Archon. Like, their Archon they're stuck with is the Primal one. It's not even a faction. There's no theme that can take it. So, it's awkward.
If you could somehow take that, like, I would take two of them with the Hermit in Wind Wanderer. But
100%.
You just can't not take the Hermit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And It's annoying, but I do remember, and confirm with this for me, Tom, if you so choose, I did remember you telling me that Hungerford was thinking of introducing more Archons next year.
Yeah, but they have, like, a really, like, packed schedule, so who knows what will come out, but he wanted to make more Archons.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And that seems about right.
So it's like, it's going to be like one of those things when it actually releases, you're going to forget that it happened. I was like, oh, shit, it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing. And yeah, I guess we can't really forget the best Archon, the most glorious Archon, the most fantastic one, who still the best character Archon.
The what?
Oh, Alexia 2, it's like, she does, she effectively is an Archon, and what she does for the list she's in is just it. I mean, at this point, people have probably played into her at some point or another. Like, she does what she does, and she does it pretty fucking well.
I think anyone who listens to this cast well acknowledges the fact that you're quite a fan of Alexia 2, mate. So,
Yeah, that's fair. It's probably accurate.
Pretty decent model.
Yeah. I mean,
it's okay. It's okay. They'll be able to look at your list next time you do want to turn them, Chris.
No, that won't be for a while. So that's okay. Yeah. We'll see how we go, though.
Yeah. Well, at least not until next year. So.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of this year for this for us.
Yeah.
All right. I think with that though, we've come to a natural close. Oh, yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. Anything else in closing from either you, Batesy, Tom?
I hope we play round one and you forget the feed again. That'd be sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
No. Maybe I'll feat with Vlad, and maybe I'll feat with some garbage mana.
Oh my god, I really wanted to play you this weekend, because I've been playing against so many Vlad 2 lists that was, like, played questionably, so it just be like, I wonder what this match was really like, so.
Fair enough. Alright, I think on that note, listeners, thank you very much for joining us. You guys have a good night.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Bye!